Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Under President Obama. Now, a lot of folks have been talking about our new healthcare enrollment website, how it's been crashing and freezing and shutting down and stalling and not working and breaking and sucking. Well, tonight, I have a number of friendly tips to help you deal with those technical problems. For example, have you tried restarting your computer? Sometimes it helps to turn the computer off and then turn it back on. We don't know why, it just does. If our website still isn't loading properly, we're probably just overloaded with traffic. Millions of Americans are visiting healthcare.gov, which is great news. Unfortunately, the site was only designed to handle 6 users at a time. So if you're in a rush, consider using our low-res website with simpler fonts and graphics. Regular English site isn't working, try signing up in a different language, like, say, Icelandic. And then choose one of 4 simple plans, Fjordflug, Hugelhofer, Trollish, or High Five. Now that's fun. And if our site keeps freezing, we've also provided links to other helpful websites, such as kayak.com, where you can purchase airline tickets to Canada and buy cheaper prescription drugs. Or how about BitTorrent, where you can download pirated copies of healthcare-related movies like Patch Adams. We also have links to a number of doctor-themed pornographic websites that should help you pass the time. Sites like Doctors Without Boundaries, Bang Ambulance, WebMDG, and Blue Cross Blue Ball. Still need guidance? Consult healthcare.gov's frequently asked questions for topics like, what the hell? How have I been on the same page for 3 hours? Does Obamacare cover mental health issues caused by using this website? And our most frequently asked question, who the government? Or you can contact us by mail. Just send a postcard with the word help to the U.S. government, Attention, internet problems, Washington, D.C. And in 6 to 8 weeks, you'll receive an informational brochure, along with a trial version of Encarta Encyclopedia, plus 1,000 free hours of AOL. Just don't install any of these programs while our website is running, or it will cause an actual fire. So enjoy your new healthcare system, America. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Oh, look at that! We're already up to 3 likes. And I like that enthusiasm. IT, can we get someone from IT in here?
We are at war. I'm not only referring to the myriad of our illicit foreign military adventures or the war drums against Iran and Syria beating once again. I'm not even talking about the battle to prevent the total corporatization of our medical services and insurance industry, nor the insurmountable debt we are racking up now that the debt limit has been eliminated, or even the very real threat of jihadism. We are at war for the heart and soul of this republic. As the duopoly furthers the agenda of the war party, amnesty for trespassers, corporatization of our health care and insurance, the near-complete installment of a police state, and the total destruction of our currency, we must focus on the real enemy. Strategically, we need to dislodge the statists, the socialists, the transnational bankers, and defend against jihadis. But in order to succeed on the national level, we must first defeat the rhinos, Republicans in name only. It doesn't matter if you like the GOP or not. What matters is that it is the only wing of the duopoly that has any champions of liberty in it. The GOP is just an organization, and the war is over whether or not it will actually be conservative with libertarian, as in classical liberal, leanings. There is a schism in the Republican Party, but it is not what you're being sold by the corporatist media. The schism is not a civil war between the Republicans and the Tea Party or the Liberty Movement infiltrators. Rather, it is a schism between the members of the party and their own platform, a platform supported by conservative voters and disdained by the party's leadership. In part, it reads, "We are the party of the Constitution, the solemn compact which confirms our God-given individual rights and assures that all Americans stand equal before the law, perhaps the greatest political document ever written. It defines the purposes and limits of government and is the blueprint for ordered liberty that makes the U.S. the world's freest, most stable, and most prosperous nation. Its constitutional ideals have been emulated around the world, and with them has come unprecedented prosperity for billions of people. We salute the Republican members of the House of Representatives for enshrining in the rules of the House the requirement that every bill must cite the provision of the Constitution which permits its introduction. Their adherence to the Constitution stands in stark contrast to the antipathy toward the Constitution demonstrated by the current administration and its Senate allies. Affirming the right of the people to be secure in their houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, we support pending legislation to prevent unwarranted or unreasonable governmental intrusion through the use of aerial surveillance or flyovers on U.S. soil, with the exception of patrolling our national borders. All security measures and police actions should be viewed through the lens of the Fourth Amendment, for if we trade liberty for security, we shall have neither. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. This provision codifies the concept that our government derives its power from the people, and all powers not delegated to the government are retained by the people. This is an essential feature of our governmental system. And we therefore celebrate the grassroots rediscovery of this and other constitutional guarantees over the last 4 years and welcome to our ranks all our fellow citizens who are determined to reclaim the rights of the people that have been ignored or violated by government." That's from the GOP platform. All of that sounds good. It's right, and it's in keeping with the spirit of liberty that established our republic, and it's quite appropriate for a party that styles itself as Republican. Unfortunately, it is total bullcrap. The GOP has not furthered this noble agenda for most of its history, beginning with Lincoln's invasion of the Confederacy, the establishment of the Federal Reserve, and numerous extra-constitutional federal agencies like EPA and DHS, one brought to you by Richard Nixon, the other by George W. Bush, not to mention that we have not formally declared war since 1942. If you want this platform furthered, if you want constitutionally limited government restored, if you truly believe in liberty and sovereignty, then you must acknowledge that we are at war and the Republicans have surrendered. In fact, they are waging a war against you and the Constitution while speaking the language of liberty, conservatism, and the Constitution, which makes them more insidious than Obama and the Democrats. To restore the limits on government power, which are enforced by the states that created the government and the individual people working together in the state militias through the courts, especially the grand jury, first, we have to defeat the rhino squishes in the Republican Party. We need more conservative and libertarian grassroots working together, and we need a force multiplier. Wake up the sheep before it's too late. What seems like a surrender is nothing more than a minor setback and a huge opportunity for the cause of liberty if you capitalize on it, if you fight for freedom, if you support the defenders of liberty and defeat those who seek to destroy it. Will 2014 be a reprise of the Reagan Revolution in 1980 and the Conservative Revolution in 1994? Liberty's victory is up to you. Stand up and fight. As the duopoly has declared war on us, we declare war on the Republicans who countermand the GOP platform, the Constitution, and the conservative and libertarian grassroots. We are not going to let division amongst the grassroots over minor quibbling points further the schism in the GOP and the country. We will not allow the GOP to continue to surrender to the Democrats. We will wage war against those who seek to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. Crush the rhinos. You are live with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City, where the rhinos are surrendering on a daily basis to the Democrats.
Oh, man, and this is Trog, got my club sharpened. You know, that was a really great opening, I have to tell you that, Rex, and your head's big enough as it is. But, you know, I figure I would comment on that because it was very specific. And you're covering something that we have talked about since the primary to some degree or another. And there was something that you were talking about. You were talking about the Reagan Revolution, the Gingrich Revolution, you know, the Republican takeover of the House, and then the re-election of a Republican majority. You know, we look at history, and I think it's really important to study history. When you look at when the Nixon debacle happened, the Republican Party was 18% of the population, 18%. And then a few years later, and some, you know, Carter and all this crap, along comes Reagan, and he takes it all but one state. And it's important to look at these types of dynamics because it was the same thing in the Gingrich era. After Reagan, things kind of went downhill for a while. You know, the left, they get up and they fight, and the rhinos, they get up and they reorganize and they fight, and they take control. You know, they take some control back. And then they, you know, spend us into oblivion. And then along comes the next revolution, which was, you know, the 94, you know, and I know people just amazing to me because having studied this stuff without any emotional content, Newt did some great things in those days. Do I agree with all of his policies? No. Do I agree with everybody? No. But you have to look at the dynamics of why they succeeded. Now, when I look right now and I see what the Republicans have done since the Tea Party was another one, you know, the 2010 elections, it is amazing to me how people forget so quickly some of the best things that have happened because they're sucking a bad egg right now. And that's the part, I think, that something that we really have to address is attitude. Attitude is everything, because the Tea Party Revolution didn't just put people in the House, almost won the Senate, and all that kind of wonderful stuff. It swept the nation. You know, how many states are total control? 24 states are totally control, and there's like 30, 34, 35 states that have Republican governors. I mean, that was powerful. They had control of everything, you know, after the Bush era, you know, the Bush-Cheney debacle. They had control of everything, and they had sweeping wins, and there's great things happening across this country. Now, when you look at this current battle, or when I look at it, and we talk about this stuff, but when I look at this current battle, I look at the amount of time and energy that is being spent to attack Ted Cruz, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Amash, whoever the, you know, the Gohmert, you know, pick them. And there's more time and energy being spent to attack those guys. And I mean, look what they did to Bachman. Look what they did to Bachman back then. She was the head of the Tea Party caucus, and they did everything in their power not to get her reelected. The rhinos, the Republicans, not the Democrats, the Republicans. And this is so important to understand this. This battle that we're looking at right now, what I think Ted did was he stepped up and he did his little filibuster. And what's amazing, he didn't, you know, it wasn't his legislation. It came out of the frickin' House. And the amount of attacks that came after him and are still coming after him, plus the things I'm reading right now about the Rove group and those groups of
people
getting ready to primary any Tea Party person that is fighting to fix our country right now. That's what you have to understand. They don't do that kind of crap if they're not scared. Just like the left. The left, I mean, they're going to be able to save all their damn money, you know, for Hillary in 2016, because the rhino Republicans are going to be spending their money trying to defeat Republicans.
Yep.
If that doesn't tell you what the battle is and what needs to be done, and people need, and I'm going a little long, I'm sorry, but people need to figure out what the hell you believe in, because this isn't fun anymore. We don't have any more, there's no more wiggle room in our economy, in the push towards socialism, in Obamacare, into the NSA, all this time and energy and effort. And the NSA, you know, they had their hearings and it was top in the news, and then just faded off. Well, you think they quit? They're still expanding. They're still expanding. Every country in the world's pissed off at America right now. Number one, they're pissed off at the NSA action. They thought we were our ally. Number two, they're pissed off that we won't fix our debt issues. People don't understand. I know we'll get into this in the second half, third half, whatever. But people don't understand that you got to sell that debt to somebody. And if the countries around the world are losing their trust in the American leadership, not the American people, because I don't sense that. I read a lot of foreign news. You know, but the American leadership, if they lose that respect and they go, I'm not interested. In fact, Russia owns a lot of our money, and so does China. But a lot of these countries are already quietly selling off this stuff, and they just don't, they could short us and put us out of business. But they're quietly selling all this stuff off because they don't trust us. And we just did it again. We just raised the debt ceiling again. Where in that
Republican platform?
Yeah, it's not there.
It doesn't exist.
Where in that thing you just read says Republicans are for unlimited debt ceilings?
It doesn't say that, but they are.
It's not in there.
Yep. No, that's the problem. I mean, you got it right. I mean, first of all, pissing off foreign countries, I mean, I could really give a shit because we still have the strongest military, but unless you want to invade and destroy everybody, you need some allies. Now, you brought up the NSA. I don't mind that the NSA, guys, I know you're listening, and please, sometimes Blog Talk Radio doesn't let me download the show after we air it, so if you could just email me a copy, I know you know my email, just go ahead and send that to me. But spying on foreigners, foreign governments, even our allies, that's what the NSA should be doing. I don't have a problem with that. But here's the thing. If you're going to spy on your allies, don't get caught doing it. That's the problem. This administration is so friggin' incompetent that they get caught spying on our allies. Well, that's a bad, bad move. You don't get caught doing it. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. What I have a problem with is them spying on every American. That is illegal. It is against the Constitution. but they do it anyway. And we opened up the show with that SNL clip where they were, you know, poking fun at Sibelius and the Obamacare website.
What
when
clip?
You can't even get the Saturday Night Live clip, you know, when you can't even get the website to work, how do you think, you know, your allies are looking at you? You're, you know, you're spying on us and you can't get your own website to work. And then our enemies are going, these people are so weak, maybe now we should invade them. You know, I mean, that's the kind of insanity that's going on. And you're right. Then you get to the debt issue. All our money is fake. It's all fabricated by the Federal Reserve. And to do it, they've got to, you know, sell bonds. Well, Bernanke's buying $45 billion of U.S. debt every month, monetizing the debt, because what he's doing is he buys the bonds through the, you know, writing a check based on nothing. Citigroup. Yeah, let's say Citigroup buys the bonds in the Treasury auctions, and then they put a deposit at the Federal Reserve of the same amount, $45 billion, and then they get to pyramid 10 times that amount of money on top of it. So far, they haven't velocitized that out into the economy, so we haven't seen that much inflation, although arguably it's at least 6% price inflation, if not 10%. And he's also buying another $40 billion of mortgage-backed securities trying to reinflate Greenspan's housing bubble. Well, foreigners also, sovereign accounts and governments are also buying these bonds, but they're getting a little trepidatious in doing it. Getting rid of the debt ceiling certainly prevented our own credit rating agencies from downgrading the U.S. debt, but the Chinese downgraded us, and they're our biggest buyer next to Japan. That's very, very dangerous. So, you know, they're engendering no confidence from the American people. Even the liberals are now starting to worry about this administration. We look like fools to the rest of the world. The only saving grace is people appreciate the very fact that the American people and the minority party in government can actually argue and make their case, even to the point of forcing Harry Reid to shut down the government, because that's how our system works, and people around the world admire that. So that's the only saving grace. That's the only thing that makes us look competent is the fact that we are actually fighting for what's right. What's in the GOP platform are issues and statements that conservatives agree with, and most libertarians, other than the ones on the ANCAP anarchist fringe, will agree with. And let's keep in mind, an authentic conservative is two-thirds a libertarian, so there's a lot of common ground there. Quit quibbling with each other, because you got to put down the statists in both parties. So that's what's going on, and yet the Republican Party leadership, what Pat Caddell called the CLEC, the Consultant Lobbyist Establishment Network, works against the platform that they put out and works against the conservatives and libertarians in the party. The reason they have this platform is it's a snow job. It's to get you to give them money, and it is to get you to work, you know, for them on the grassroots level, door knocking and getting people registered to vote and getting them out to vote so that the Republicans can win. Well, Republican victories don't necessarily mean victories for conservatism, for libertarians, or for the Constitution. People like Jihad Jane McHammed, Republican Arizona, Lindsay Lightness Loafers, Gramnesty, Bob Loftus, Cork Corker. These are not conservatives. They should not be in the Republican Party. They've taken it over, and that's what this war is about. They keep talking about this schism, Chris, that there's a civil war in the Republican Party because of these radical infiltrators. These radical infiltrators are what Republicans say that they are. These radical infiltrators are precisely who the founding fathers were. The foreign element is the neocons that have been running this party into the ground since they got rid of Gingrich in 99. That's who the fight is against, and that's what people really need to understand. But I guess, Chris, before we can get into all that good stuff in more detail, we kind of have to address this this alleged patient and protection Affordable Care Act BS. I mean,
it is not affordable. The only word in that list, Rex, that is applicable is patient. Means that you better be damn patient if you log on.
If you can log on, you have to be patient. It might take you 3 years to get it. Well, here's the crazy thing, right? We keep hearing, well, let's try to fix it, not nix it. Let's fix it, not nix it. Shut up, you fools. What they should have done, and what Wolf Blitzer, a lefty himself, told them to do is you should have taken the Republicans up on their offer to delay this thing a year. Bob Beckel, the lefty on that allegedly conservative Fair and Balanced Network, Fox News, went so far as to say it should be delayed 6 months or a year, and then he gets a call the next day from a, quote, former administration official who basically bludgeoned him over saying that. I mean, he's that's op-ed. He's allowed his, you know, he's got free speech rights, and he's supposed to state his opinion. And he's constantly defending this administration, but they go after him because he didn't toe the line. And they're doing this a lot. We'll get into that later. But the amazing thing, Chris, is people are going to get fined starting next April if they don't have individual medical insurance by January 1st. Now, these, you know, websites went live October 1st and they sucked, and this has nothing to do with the shutdown because Sebelius herself said, shutdown or no shutdown, we're ready to go. Well, clearly she wasn't ready to go. These websites are going down. Just went down again today. McAfee himself, the guy that basically developed the antivirus programs, basically said this thing is a hacker's wet dream. You know, people's identities can be stolen with a few keystrokes. It's not even difficult. But here's the crazy thing. Now that there's more people losing their current private health insurance because of Obamacare mandates. Now, remember something. The mandate, there's several mandates. The one we're talking about is the individual mandate, but there's also an insurance company mandate. The plans have to be, by January 1st, they have to conform to the ACA requirements. And the ones that don't are being dropped. So more people have lost their insurance than have even signed up an account on these websites. And this thing, apparently, now that they've got the, quote, tech surge, I mean, you're using the language of what we did in Iraq to salvage that debacle, to save this one. I don't get it. It's crazy. God. But they say it's going to start working December 1st, right? That means that people have merely 2 weeks to sign up for a crappy new Obamacare plan because you have to have your plan and your first month's premium, which you don't even really know if it's your first month's premium because they won't know what the real prices are until January, but you have to pay your first month's premium and have signed up for this plan by December 15th. So from December 1st to December 15th, everybody has to sign up. And they're expecting $7 million in the first year. So do the math. How many hundreds of thousands have to sign up in those 2 weeks? And, of course, if you don't sign up, then you're going to start getting taxed in April of 2014. And on top of that, this woman has the audacity to say that she doesn't work for you. I mean, people in the executive department of government are allegedly civil servants who are serving the civilian population, and she says she doesn't work for you. I mean, that's beyond insane. And we'll get to that in a minute. I got a clip of her playing. But you mentioned fighting, and you mentioned Ted Cruz. And I think what people have to realize is, you know, it seems like, well, the Republicans surrendered. They caved on this shutdown. It was a bad idea to begin with, and it was all Ted Cruz's fault. Somehow this guy that was just elected to the Senate, he's the junior senator from Texas, the first time he was on the Senate floor was on March 6th of this year during Rand Paul's filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time that Ted Cruz spoke on the Senate floor. Somehow this guy was able to single-handedly cause a government shutdown. That's insane. And it was Harry Reid that shut down the government anyway, but that's besides the point. So you think that, you know, they surrendered, so it's over. Well, not really. You know, they basically surrendered in 76. They surrendered again when they got rid of Gingrich. And they surrendered again, essentially, when they elected H.W. Bush, who, you know, Mr. New World Order, 1,000 points of light. But Ted Cruz has said that he will continue to fight. Ted Cruz said he will continue to fight, Rand Paul will continue to fight, Mike Lee will continue to fight, and it's not just these new young guns in the Senate. You know, Sessions in the Senate is standing with these guys, Grassley is standing with these guys, and in the House you got somewhere around 40 people like Amash and Gohmert and Woodall. These people are standing up, but here's a minute 30 on Ted Cruz saying why this is important and why he will continue to fight.
So you would do it again? I would do anything, and I will continue to do anything I can, to stop the train wreck that is Obamacare. And in particular, look, the test that matters, John, is are we doing anything for all the people that are getting hurt from Obamacare? Washington focuses on the politics all day long. That's what this town does. But what we saw in the deal last night is that the U.S. Senate is not concerned about all the people out of a job, all the people in part-time work, all the people whose health insurance premiums are skyrocketing, all the people who are losing their health insurance. And that's happening because of Obamacare, because of legislation Congress passed. And I think our focus should not be on D.C. politics. It should be on the people who are getting hurt.
But let me be sure I understand. Finally, will you rule out saying you will not – let me be very clear about this. Will you rule out pushing to the brink of another shutdown by saying you would block funding for the government unless Obamacare is defunded? Will you do that again?
John, I know you –
or will you say you're not going to do that
John,
again?
John, I know you want to nail down all sorts of future tactical decisions. What I intend to do is continue to stand with the American people working to stop Obamacare.
So you might do it? It's under consideration?
What I intend to do is continue standing with the American people to work to stop Obamacare because it isn't working, it's costing people's jobs, and it's taking away their health care.
I mean, it's pretty simple. He was elected by Texans based on the statements he made on the campaign trail that he will delay, defund, somehow stop Obamacare and the rush towards a statist socialism in this republic. And that's what he's doing. Now, whether you like that or not, I'm assuming that if you're listening to this show, you like it, that's besides the point. The fact is that he's doing what he said he would do, and that's something that's laudable. But the interesting thing is, here's the reporter trying, hey, why don't you tell everybody so that all the Democrats and rhinos can hear what the strategies and tactics are to actually do this so they can figure out how to stop you in advance. I mean, he's not going to tell them that. That's crazy. You have to remember something. Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and all the conservative, the real conservatives and the real libertarians in the Republican Party, they're behind enemy lines. Sure, they're the ones that are doing what the platform says. They're the ones doing what the Constitution says. They're the ones doing what the majority of American people want. But they're behind enemy lines. Wouldn't you agree, Chris,
double
it would be stupid for him
line.
To
double.
Tell them? Yeah, but
double
wouldn't it be stupid
lines.
For him to Yeah, wouldn't it be stupid for Cruz to tell the rhinos and the Democrats what he's planning on doing to restore constitutional government in advance?
You know what I found amazing was that he was trying to get Cruz to say that he would toe the line and obey. That's really what I was getting from that. Just one of the little subtle hints there. You know, are you gonna be a good guy? And I agree. You know, what you said is very true. He's not going to, you know, he even said it, I'm not going to tell you my strategy or my tactics. That's stupid. You know, I'm fighting a war here, for one. But for two, I think people are so afraid of him. And he also made a misconception. Cruz didn't stop anything. He didn't write the legislation in the House. He didn't pass it in the House. He didn't bring it to the floor. That came out of the House. Cruz didn't do that. All he did was a damn filibuster for 21 hours. And expose the facts and expose the truth. So what he did was he lit a fire. Other people picked it up. You know, nobody had to pick anything up. They chose to pick it up. So that was a fallacy that they keep trying to push out into the public sphere. So, yeah, no, I it's just, it's ridiculous. And I just saw Orrin Hatch beating up on Heritage. And I haven't watched the video yet, but I mean, I just see this stuff all over the place. You know, the Democrats are imploding, and we have 10 Democrats that are up for reelection, you know, saying that Obamacare needs to be held off. You know, everything just needs to be put on hold, need to fix all the problems. They're not glitches. You know, glitches are little things. These are huge issues. And I've read articles by guys who are in the tech industry and, you know, design big systems and things like that, you know, talking about it and just, you know, just laughing, you know, at how immature and unprofessional this thing was. What was it, $634 million they spent on this thing?
Yeah, it sounds like it was a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, it sounds like a true democratic program. Anyway, so that's where we're at.
It's full of corruption.
You know.
Yeah, no, but terrible. It's full of corruption. I mean, the screwed up thing is that, you know, this was given to, I think, you know, someone who knew Michelle Obama. They spent, like 600 and some million dollars when most people in the IT business say to put this thing together would have taken $1 million. Now, here's what they're not counting on. This thing is a web of intricacy and information exchange that you don't even understand. You think it's bad enough that the NSA is spying on you. And downloading everybody's data around the world into the Utah data center. This thing connects Social Security,
everything.
Medicare, Medicaid, IRS. I mean, all these databases are you know, that's one of the reasons why it's such a mess. But just imagine that. Now you have a flow of information controlled by the federal government that contains your tax and financial information. Don't forget about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is housed in the Fed, which is a private bank. So they have your financial information. They have your health care information, your medical records. They have your Social Security. They have your access to your doctor. They have your insurance plan. They have everything, and it's all interconnected. That is way too much information about you to be held in one place.
Or to be wide open to multiple departments.
Exactly.
You know, we start getting into some really, really, really important freedom issues, you know, Bill of Rights issues, because it opens it up. You know, the NSA, the police, everybody can tap all this stuff anytime they want. I honestly, Rex, there are days when I look at this, I think, man, well, I'm in some kind of sci-fi horror flick right now. But there are days when I look at this, and then I look at the national conversation, you know, what's going around the internet, what's going around, you know, on the news channels, what's Fox talking about, and they're all caught up in this tit-for-tat crap over Obamacare and a website, and it's so much bigger than that, and there are very few people talking. Now, there are people talking about it, don't get me wrong, but that should be the national dialogue. What the hell are you people doing should be the question. And why do you need all this information, and why are you doing this, and why did you launch this thing knowing it hadn't been tested? You know, you listen to the, and it's really hard to listen to these hearings, but if you force yourself, you can. You have all these different departments that were working on different facets of this system, and all of them said, well, ours worked, well, but... You know, nobody was communicating. I mean, we're talking about basic project management. Anybody knows anything about building tech systems knows that, you know, your engineers have to be communicating with each other and testing across the board all the time, especially if you're going to tie all these different departments together. I mean, this is a mess. And then you're going to ask all the medical doctors around the country to tie into this? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, look. All you got to do is just describe that to a tech person and say, is this feasible? You know, and they're going to tell you, you're insane. I mean, you look at Microsoft, you look at, you know, Cisco, you look at any of these big companies. They've been building these systems forever, and they've had glitches and breakdowns forever to build these, and these are the best in the world. You know, you look at Facebook,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, here's the thing. I mean, let's be clear about something. This so-called Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which doesn't, you know, protect patients and isn't affordable, but that's besides the point. It was designed to fail from the beginning. They've been more or less honest about that recently because they want it to fail because that way they can point to the, quote, free market aspects of it, which are allegedly these friggin' exchanges, right, because it's private health insurance companies that are supplying the product in the exchanges, even though it's government-designed, right? They're going to point to that as saying that's why it failed, and so, you know, the free market sucks, so therefore we need a single-payer system. Now, single-payer system means that the government is paying the, you know, services as the insurer itself. Well, that's not true because the government doesn't have any money. So what happens is it's a single debt system. The payer is the Federal Reserve fabricating money out of nothing and putting you and your children for generations in hock, right? And then forcing you to take that money that they just created and not, you know, buying something that you want. I mean, granted, the debt sucks, but at least maybe you get something you enjoy or something you need. Maybe, I don't know, food or the mortgage payment or something like that. But no, what they're going to do is force you to buy insurance. And the idea is, the reason that they want this database connectivity is that this is the 1984 model. This is having control over all of your information, from your finances to your medical record. I mean, think of it this way, right? Let's say you realize, oh, crap, as a smoker, I'm going to pay more in premiums, so I'll tell them I'm a non-smoker. And then you go swipe your credit card at the 7-Eleven and buy a pack of smokes. Well, that's going to raise a flag right there, and they're going to tag it, cross-reference it, and you're going to get nailed. You know, it's this kind – now, I'm not saying that you should mislead your insurance company about smoking or not smoking. That's That's a, between you and God. But what I'm saying is now you have the government that has these systems where they know everything about you. You know, that's the crazy, messed up system, and it's just designed to go towards single payer. That's the problem, and it is a sneaky backdoor way of getting this in place, which is totally corporatized medicine. Don't let liberals fool you. Let's be like all the other civilized nations and have single payer. It works for them. Well, the reason these things work in Europe, or have at least, is because they haven't spent anything on military and defense spending, because they have NATO, which is us. And we can't afford our military and defense spending. We're going to have to cut that. And the Republicans keep saying, oh, no, we can't cut that. Well, why not? Why not? I'm not saying don't pay your soldiers. I'm not saying don't fix your naval ships. But most of the defense spending is corporate welfare being transferred to Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and Boeing and all these other defense contractors. Most of the time they produce stuff that doesn't work, and then they say, oh, well, I guess we have to scrap this, $800 billion, dollar program, but oh, shit, you spent the money too bad, okay? That's the kind of chaos that's going on, and these people are so arrogant. They're so arrogant, and you can see it. Whenever there's a hearing in Congress, look at the way that these bureaucrats respond. They have such disdain for the oversight, which is congressional responsibility, especially the House, which is closest to the people. When they have disdain for the congressman asking them these questions, and they keep saying stuff like, I don't know, or I'll have to check on that, or we don't have those numbers, and all this kind of stuff, they're lying, and they're basically showing their disdain for you. And one of the single most rude and arrogant of them is this Catherine Sebelius, who is running HHS, who's been given essentially by the, quote, law that they passed, gives her all the power to write these regulations, and she's not an elected official. She's Obama's crony. And this is what she had to say about who she works
for. She is a governor, right?
Sebelius responding to calls for her resignation. Her answer may want her to have a do-over. She says she doesn't work for you.
Who have you fired?
No one has been fired. My goal is to actually get the website up and running.
Have you offered your resignation
yet? People who are calling for you to resign.
Well, the majority of people calling for me to resign, I would say, are people who I don't work for and who do not want this program to work in the first place. I have had frequent conversations with the president, and I've committed to him that my role is to get the program up and running, and we will do just that.
Can you believe that? I don't. The people who want me to resign, I don't work for them? Well, what is that? You all right? Maybe you should get one of those healthcare plans.
I'm better now. I was laugh. I choked on my own spit, man. I watched her in a hearing, in the House, and she was arrogant. I mean, arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is I really don't think people understand how long these and I don't mean liberals. I mean these socialist Marxist people who want to have this new world order, whatever you want to call it, however you want to compile it, this agenda and of total control. They've been at it for 100 years, and this group has been quiet and they've been infiltrating, government institute, education systems, right up the line for years and years and years, waiting for this
the long
time
march.
In history. And they have, and when Obama came rolling in, and after the Bush era and the wars and the disdain of the American people and the hope and change bullshit, which mm-hmm. is the same crap Stalin said, mm-hmm. I mean, forward. I mean, come on, people. Read history.
Wake up.
God. Really. I mean, I shouldn't have to, I shouldn't have to educate people on history all the time, but it just seems like people don't take the time to study this stuff. And yeah, I know American Idol's important. I know football's important, but give me a break. I said this in the opening dialogue, we no longer have wiggle room for you to be apathetic and to watch other people fight the fight. This is serious crap. Our country, I cannot fathom. I mean, when we get into economics, in the second half, when you were talking about you know, the money the Fed is printing and buying up mortgage-backed securities, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's on top of everything else they've already done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's on top of the bailout and TARP and QE1, QE2. Now we're in QE infinity. And so you have printing money, borrowing money on a world economy which still hasn't recovered. You know, Europe is still dead flat. The only economies in the world that are moving forward and have continued to move forward through this recession are all pooled together, working together and working out their own money exchanges, you know, like BRICS and Russia and China. And they're over there doing what we should be doing. And we just, you know, just blew the lid off of the debt ceiling. I mean, I cannot fathom how the Republicans were so weak, you know, in this situation that they couldn't hold strong, and that was their concession. No,
they planned to surrender before it started, and the McConnell rule is the rule that basically has eliminated the debt ceiling from now until February 7th.
I got off on economics. Sorry.
Yeah, allegedly. No, but McConnell did that. So I want everybody to hammer the crap out of Mitch McConnell, who is up for re-election in Kentucky, which is also the state that the junior senator Rand Paul is from. Now, I know a lot of you out there, like to nitpick on Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Justin Amash. Let me tell you something. You don't have to like them. You don't have to like their style. You don't have to like every policy that they advocate. Okay, but these are the champions of the Constitution. Quit nitpicking and beating up on them while you're overlooking all the crap that the rhinos have done. Mitch McConnell needs to go. Now, Rand Paul has endorsed him, and a lot of people are like, see, Rand Paul's an insider. He's endorsed Mitch McConnell. I hate Rand Paul. Let me tell you something. Rand Paul is the junior senator from Kentucky, and Mitch McConnell is currently the minority leader of his party. Rand Paul would be an idiot to pick a fight with Mitch McConnell. Rand Paul would be on no committees. Do you want Rand Paul on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee? Absolutely you do. Well, he won't be there if he upsets Mitch McConnell. If he doesn't endorse him, he'll be boxed in and he won't have any power to do anything. So that's not a fight that Rand Paul should pick. But that doesn't mean that you don't help Rand Paul out by picking that fight yourself. He can't come out and say, primary Mitch McConnell. He'll be dead. Okay, but you can do it, and you need to do it. So you must make sure that everybody in Kentucky knows what a rhino Mitch McConnell is. Make sure that everybody in Kentucky knows that it's Mitch McConnell who eliminated the debt ceiling, gave Obama unlimited borrowing power from now until February 7th, when we're likely to see another, quote, government shutdown if the conservatives and libertarians do what they're supposed to do. They'll force another shutdown by the Democrats. And then we'll see if this, you know, sunset provision of, you know, the elimination of the debt limit actually comes into play, or if they just give Obama unlimited borrowing power, because that's exactly what Janet Yellen is going to want. Janet Yellen is the mouthpiece of the Federal Reserve, who's going to replace the current mouthpiece, Ben Bernanke, in December. Mitch McConnell's phone number is 202-224-2541. Call him and straighten him up, but make sure you call everybody you know in Kentucky and help out those that are going to primary Mitch McConnell and not send him back to D.C. Now, real quick, I really wanted
There's
to get off Obamacare.
There's a couple decent people primarying him. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we need to support them. Believe it or not, we're already 50 minutes in. Let me do a little housekeeping, and then I'll try to figure out how to get off Obamacare, because I did not want to talk about Obamacare the whole time. But, folks, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you getting the grassroots message out. This is a grassroots show. Chris and I don't make any money doing this. We actually spend money doing this. You're our only means of getting it out there. So if you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, if you see a tweet of the show, retweet it. If you see a picture of the show, the current picture says GOP, what next? I'm glad that you like it. Please share it. Get it out to people. Share it to your friends. Share it in groups. Share it off Facebook, anywhere you are on the web. Let people know about the show. It's the only way that it's getting out there. And by sharing the show, you are not endorsing everything Chris and I say. You're not endorsing our style, our language, or even necessarily all our positions. What you're doing is you're telling the grassroots conservatives and libertarians, take a listen to this. You might get a slightly different perspective. And we're putting information together for you that's probably from multiple different sources that you're not going to get in one place. Very, very important. And if you're listening right now in your browser, if you go down below the scrolling graphics, there is a download this episode link. Right-click on that. You get an MP3. Okay, you can email that MP3. You can play it in your MP3-enabled device. You can burn CDs. You can take them to your Republican Party meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your NA meetings, your AA meetings, your Sexaholics meetings, whatever meetings you go to, and just give them out so that people can get a taste and maybe get a different perspective, because this affects everybody. And it's very important that they know. And if you're on Facebook, go to the Tex and Rex show page and like the page, and you'll get broadcast information and other relevant information in your news feed. And we really appreciate it. Now, there are, you know, the corporatist media is generally bull crap, and they kind of cover for the squishy Republicans to surrender, and they cover for Obama and the Democrats to further the statist agenda. But every once in a while, one of them will actually say something that isn't fully approved. And as long as they're doing that, we should listen to it. A really good, succinct explanation of these things is usually done. Unfortunately, it's on Fox News. I hate to give them ratings, but that's why they invented YouTube. You don't have to watch Fox News. You can get it on YouTube. But Judge Jeanine Pirro had this intro. It was fairly long, but I've got about 7 minutes of it where she goes into a lot of different issues, not just Obamacare, but she highlights how messed up this is, and she does a good job. So this will take us into the second hour, and we'll probably barely get what we want in that second hour. Then we'll probably go into the third hour. The third hour is not available to you live. If you're listening in podcast, just keep rolling. If you're listening live at midnight, if you want to keep hearing it live, you can only listen to it on your phone. So you call in at 646-649-1013. Here's Judge Jeanine for about 7 minutes, and Chris and I will be back on the other side.
They are so thoughtful, understanding, considerate, and generous. The Obama administration gives us 6 more weeks to sign up for health care before the penalty kicks in and they sick the IRS after us. Not because they couldn't get the website off the ground. Not because they have no idea what they're doing as they burn through almost $1 billion taxpayer dollars, and not because 2 foreign companies have defaulted on their contracts. They are doing it because we are confused. They are doing it to clear up the timing confusion about the law.
I appreciate the question because I know there was some confusion last night. The individual mandate timing has not changed.
By the way, what made you think that we were confused? Did you take a poll? If so, you should have added a throwaway question like, do we even want this law, which no one can read, has read, or even wants to read? Now, I don't know about you, but I was real clear on the date. There was October 1, December 15, January 1. What date was I confused about? And you say, we didn't get it? Of course, we're just plain stupid. And how did you come up with 6 more weeks? Did you pull the number out of a hat? Or did you consult this guy?
Once a year, the eyes of the nation turn to this tiny hamlet in western Pennsylvania to watch a master at work. The master? Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous weatherman, the groundhog.
I definitely see a shadow. Sorry, Bo. 6 more weeks of winter.
Mr. President, with all due respect, 6 more weeks? Now, I don't want you to treat me any better than anyone else. Do what you do for yourself, federal employees, Congress, and your union friends. Don't give me 6 more weeks. Give me a damn waiver. And to top it off, your Take No Responsibility administration says the delay is unrelated to the website problem. Of course it is. So then why isn't the website working? Why can't people sign up? Now, setting up a website isn't exactly rocket science. Even my mom could buy a web address for $10 and have it up and running in an hour. No disrespect, Mom. But, Mr. President, if you can get our phone records, listen to our conversations, get our passwords, read our emails, see our pictures, track our social media, and do the same to friendly world leaders who you're managing to infuriate all over the world and turn into enemies, why can't you get a website to work for your signature legislation? And with all due respect, Mr. President, it's time to man up, roll up your sleeves, take responsibility, and fix it. We're tired of the blame game. In fact, I'm surprised someone hasn't blamed George Bush for this. It's everybody's fault but yours. Admit it. Your administration lied saying the website was ready to go live, but that's nothing new. An over-his-head holder lied to Congress and the American people about Fast and Furious. Cinema expert Susan Rice lied about Benghazi and that video. And Clueless Clapper lied when he said the NSA doesn't spy on us. And those IRS bozos lied about targeting your political enemies. And Simple Sebelius lied when she said, shut down or no shutdown, we are ready to go. Are they liars or just incompetent? And either way, why didn't you do anything? What's that? You didn't know? Mr. President, you're a leader. When your staff lies to Congress or the American people, you need to step in and make it right. But what's that? You'll still hold everyone accountable? But when it comes to accountability, you talk a big game.
There may be a situation here in which a serious mistake was made. If that's the case, then we'll find out and we'll hold somebody accountable.
When it comes to this issue, when I say that we are going to find out exactly what happened, everybody will be held accountable.
With respect to the IRS, I spoke to this yesterday. My main concern is fixing a problem.
And what's that? You're now bringing in the best?
We've had some of the best IT talent in the entire country join the team, and we're well into a tech surge to fix the problem. And we are confident that we will get all the problems fixed.
Why the heck didn't you start with the best in the first place? Why give foreign companies our contracts? Might I have been right last Saturday night? You know what I think the heart of all this is? It's all about money. And now, Mr. President, we learn that the First Lady's college classmate is Senior Vice President at CGI, that Canadian company with the French name that I can't pronounce that got the no-bid contract to build the Obamacare website. Now, isn't that special? I'll tell you what would be special if the American people could get the health care that you promised and keep our doctors and keep our health plans. You told us that would happen.
First of all, if you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. Nobody is talking about taking that away from you.
But millions of Americans are losing their health plans because of Obamacare. And nobody is talking about taking that away from you? Really? You're the one taking that away from us.
Yeah, he sure is. And are they liars or are they incompetent? The answer is yes. All these clips that we play and articles that we reference and other information is available to you in Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia on Facebook. And also, if you see the picture promoting the show on Facebook, if you click on the picture in the comment section, I post every clip and article, you can see the full length of all of these there. But I think Judge Jeanine pretty much summed up what this is all about and tied in the threads of all the scandals from Fast and Furious to Benghazi to the NSA to the IRS with this thing. And isn't that an interesting little tidbit of information that the vice president of CGI is Michelle Obama's Princeton buddy?
Yeah, I saw that. I posted that article. You know, when Judge Jeanine has a way with words that very few do. I mean, she really is good at tying all the knots. You know, she doesn't get caught up in the individual situation or the individual, you know, whatever the talking heads are talking about, whether it's the site or this or that or the other, whatever pet peeve people have. You know, she is very good at bringing the whole picture to bear. And it's almost like it's kind of hard to add to anything she said because she said it all, She said it very clearly, and she, I love her sarcasm, her all due, with due respect. Yeah, right. You know, and she's just awesome in her ability to bring it all to play. And this is, you know, while I was listening to this, something just hit me like a rock. If this would have been a Republican president that rolled out a debacle like this, it would be 24/7 until they drummed him out of business and got a dozen people fired.
That did happen. Yeah. It was called Medicare Part D.
Yeah, no kidding. And the thing is that you look at the incompetency, and I'm not, you know, when you look at all these different scandals, and we've covered them all to some degree or another, and it is amazing that there are some world changers, some game-stopping scandals, whether it's the IRS or the NSA or Benghazi or Fast and Furious or whatever, that are showstoppers that have been buried because you can't keep up with the next one and the next one and the next one. And some people might say, you know, this is strategic on one hand, but I think it's just all catching up to them, which is very typical of a second-term administration anyway. But, I mean, it is a mess. And if people can't figure out that this is not how you run a country, I mean, there's nothing going on. There's no growth in this country. They're printing and borrowing money. Congress is corrupt. I mean, come on, getting waivers, that was a 90% poll that said, I don't want Congress to have some frickin' waiver that I can't have, you know, that Congress should live by the laws that they pass. 90% of the population, and they did nothing about it. We are at a time where it's either going to change forever or people are going to wake the hell up and start doing something.
Well, people need to wake up. People need to wake up. And, I mean, you're right. First, let me just point out one thing. These jerk-offs in the Imperial City, they don't run the country. They are only supposed to run the government. We run the country in small businesses, by going to work, by raising our kids. You know, we run the country. They're supposed to run the government. And what they've done is they've ruined the government. And you're right. It is because of the corruption. Why is it so corrupt? Why do they feel that they're above the law? Why did they not adhere to the Republican Party platform? Because we've let them do that.
We've let them get away with it. Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, we've let them do that. Now, obviously, not you, because you're the grassroots and you're doing something to stop it, but you can't do it just with your numbers. You can't do it with, a couple of million people. It takes much more than that to move it. You have to create a force multiplier. You have to get other people involved. You have to get them to make calls, to sign petitions. I mean, Ted Cruz and Mike Lee's petition to defund and then delay Obamacare got 2.1 million signatures, and don't think that that didn't scare the crap out of the Republicans. It certainly did. The reason that people like Rand Paul, who actually has an amendment that he's proposed to the Constitution that demands that Congress and the executive live under the same laws they pass for the rest of us. That is how it's supposed to work. It's sad that we would need an amendment to say that, but that's the kind of work that you're getting done by these guys. They're only able to do it because you're behind them. The only reason that we stopped the Syria war, the only reason we didn't get the gun grab was because millions of people called. Now, when you call, they don't really care what your opinion is on the particular policy or what you want to do about it or anything. All they care about is, are you for or against? They just tally the yays and nays. So anybody can call. You don't even have to be that well-versed on a particular issue, although you should be, and hopefully we're bringing you that information. But if you just get people to call and tell them, no, don't do this, or yes, we support that, that is enough to move it. And when it comes to elections, don't think showing up on the Tuesday in November every other year is enough. First of all, in your locality, there's probably an election every single year. We have elections every year in this country. You should be participating. And force a change. Tell them not to use those electronic machines that can be hacked, just like the Obamacare website, and messed with and put algorithms to pick their candidate. Paper ballots, write-in ballots. Change the rules so that alternate parties can get involved. Now, I know a lot of people out there are like, oh, the Republicans are such squishes, you know, screw the Republican Party. Well, you know, I'm not a Republican, never have been. You know, when I came of age, George H.W. Bush was the choice, and I wasn't going that route. If it was a few years prior and Ronald Reagan was the choice, I may have actually become a Republican. But the fact is, The duopoly controls, the Democrat Rhino duopoly controls every single precinct. On the national level, you are not going to get any alternate party candidate. If there ever was a time for that to happen, it was 2012, and Gary Johnson got 1.4 million votes. So it is the way it's supposed to be, but you have to deal with the world as it is, not as you wish it were. So on the national level, it's the Republican Party. The third party is already in the Republican Party. That's why the Rhinos are trying to shut down the Tea Party and Liberty candidates, because they don't want that to happen. Now, do you want the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, or some other party to be the dominant force or even independent candidates? That's great. Then you have to change the rules at your local level and start working on that. But until that gets done, you have to take over one wing of the duopoly, and your champions of liberty are in the Republican Party, and your Liberty Movement candidates, delegates, have taken over several of the state central committees of the Republican Party. They are currently waging an internal war against Liberty delegates and Tea Party people all over the place. It is up to you to support them and fight with them so that you can shut down the Rhino clique and get real conservative candidates who will do what the Republican platform says that they intend to do. But they don't. They lie to you. And unfortunately, there are a lot of conservative voters and even possibly some libertarian voters who vote party lines or listen to Fox News and think these guys are doing the job that they say they're going to do without knowing what you know. You have to inform them. You have to put up the fight. You have to make sure that this Republican Party will actually do what it says in the platform, will adhere to the Constitution, and will correct this tide of statism that is ruining the country for everybody. From the left to the right, every one of us is affected by this. And don't think for a second that those people that are getting all the freebies from the welfare state are any better off than you are. They're not, because the whole thing is going to come crashing down. You saw it when they temporarily shut off the EBT system, which is the food stamps, and people went apeshit. So when people learn to become reliant on government for the basic needs, they are at the mercy of government. They are enslaved. And you shouldn't be denigrating and attacking these people. What you should be is educating and informing them so that in massive numbers we can stop this from happening. That's how you get it done. That's the fight. Right, Chris?
Well, I was just thinking when you were talking about the EBT, I was just thinking about Detroit. And for some crazy reason, you know, we have you know, here's that history stuff again. But, you know, you have communist Russia, you have Nazi Germany, you have Mussolini in Italy, you have, I mean, you just have all of these examples of this totalitarian, we know best, give us all of your money and power, and we will take care of you. I mean, we've evolved to the internet and we all have smartphones and things like that, man never changes, you know, and it goes back to that thing where you have to ask yourself, who in the hell are you? What do you believe in? Do you believe in anything? Because if you don't, then and you look at Washington, D.C., and you go, well, it's a mess. Why bother? Well, it's a mess because you didn't bother. That's what the problem is. This country was set up. This country was such an amazing, going back in history, it was such an amazing experiment in individual liberty and personal responsibility. I mean, it was when our founding fathers got together and put together that Bill of Rights and that Constitution and set the course for this country, it was the freest mankind has ever been. But it required responsibility. And that's the part I think, you know, and not everybody likes Glenn Beck, and I have, you know, parts of him I like and parts of him I don't like. But, you know, he talks about the wrong word is my rights. The right word should be my responsibilities. If you go back to Kennedy, you know, who was a Democrat, you know, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask, you know, ask what you can do for your country. That's a responsibility mindset, and that was a Democrat. And now we got Republicans who act like Democrats and Democrats who act like Stalinists and Marxists and socialists and all the other ifs and isms.
It is moving to the left.
So, It is so bad right now. And the whole economy, I mean, there are people who still think Bush crashed the economy. It was the globalists. It was the banks. It was everybody involved in this Ponzi scheme. Took it right off the bloody edge. The housing bubble was just a piece of it, and we got more bubbles floating, and we'll get into that. Here I go again with the economy. But we have more bubbles floating than we ever have had at the same time.
No, and right.
It is scary. Sorry.
It is scary, but here's the thing. No, you're right. We do have all these bubbles floating, and it is precisely the fact that these bankers who have built this money scheme on debt, okay, that control these politicians because the politicians are corrupt. Yeah, okay, exactly. So, and that's why these politicians are corrupt. A lot of people say, well, you got to get the money out of politics. Well, I mean, give me a break. These guys don't want the money out of politics. You have to take over the Republican Party, okay? I'm not saying you have to become a Republican. I mean, in your state, maybe you're forced to, but, here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, I can vote in Republican primaries without having to be a Republican. But the most important thing is get people aware and get them to support candidates who are actually conservative. You don't have to agree with everything that they stand for. You don't have to agree with every position they have. We can fight about these quibbling things later. But if they're predominantly for the Constitution, for liberty, for what the Republican platform says they're going to do, and they're
fiscal
actually
responsibility
do that, then you put them in power. Now, you mentioned the economy, and we've only got 45 minutes of live air left, so we're going to get into that. But real quick, I just wanted to point out that these corrupt money people also control the media, which is still, unfortunately, where most Americans, especially people above the age of 30, people above the age of 30 go to get their news. If they listen to Fox News for 30 minutes or an hour once a day, especially if it's when they get home, when Bret Baier's neocon hour is on, or they read some of these papers, and they're not going out to get alternate sources of information, they are totally misinformed. It's up to you to wake them up. Now, here's the thing. This administration has taken the art of messing with the media to a whole new level, where now the lefty are starting to say something about it. Here's some libtard chick, I think her name's Carol Costello, on the Communist News Network. Listen to what she says.
Is a larger story, which Jason began to touch on there, and that is the Obama administration, thin-skinned, we could call it, or he mentioned the record prosecution of leaks. There's a consistency in the Obama administration of going after people who embarrass the administration, but not those that take shots or cover for the administration.
And Will really does have a point, because I felt it firsthand when I was, reporting on the presidential race. President Obama's people can be quite nasty. They don't like you to say anything bad about their boss, and they're not afraid to use what other means they have at hand to stop you from doing that, including threatening your job.
That's pretty significant. That is pretty significant. I mean, this is Soviet Russia type
stuff.
I
was going to say, is this the USSA?
Is this Russia? This isn't Russia. Is this Russia? That's pretty damning, because if you don't have a free press, whether it's through threats from the administration, through IRS audits, or through their bosses who are owned by the same bankers that are doing what Bernanke's doing, you're not going to get the right information. You're going to get a little bit of truth to keep you on the hook, and then a whole bunch of lies to manage your mind. That's what's happening with most Americans to this day. You have to wake them up and get them to other sources. Sometimes, unfortunately, you got to go to foreign sources. For example, Russia Today. Mm-hmm. You can get a lot of good news from Russia Today about the global economy and what's going on with what the Federal Reserve is doing, and about our foreign military interventions that our news won't report on. Remember, the whole Syria thing? It didn't stop because we had a shutdown. It didn't stop because we were talking about the debt ceiling and the continuing resolutions. It kept on going. But you haven't heard a damn thing about it until this week, where they start beating the war drums again against Iran. So, which basically is a strike against Syria first. You have to keep in mind that Russia Today is Russian-paid, Moscow, Putin-controlled media. So they're not necessarily telling you the truth about everything. They have an agenda. That agenda is to promote Russia, not to help the United States. But if you want the source, you know, information that you're not getting in your controlled media, you can go there and listen. Just understand that it's also controlled in some way with just a different agenda. And you've got to triangulate these different things to get the information. Now, Chris brought up the economy. Well, let's face it. That was Carville's hook in 92 with the Clinton campaign. It's the economy, stupid. And it's true. It always comes down to the economy because your economic liberty is tied into any liberty that you have. It is very, very vitally important. And you are basically an economic slave unless you fight these people and bring them down. And the only way that you're going to do that is through the government. But your government has been appropriated by these people. So instead of protecting your individual rights, especially your economic rights, from these transnational bankers, your government has been appropriated by them. And the best way to blow the doors off on that is inform people. Because once they know, then they'll be motivated to actually do something about it. Remember, we have the power because we outnumber them. But as long as we're compliant, as long as we're distracted by bread and circuses, as long as we're distracted by the free Obama phone, the EBT swipe card, and dancing with the douchebags, these guys will keep winning, and the rhinos will keep running the Republican Party, and your conservative candidates won't. Got to wake people up. Peter Schiff did an interview with Russia Today that was pretty good. It's pretty lengthy. It's on our page, so go check it out.
Go ahead. You were going to play
a
vid. Well, no, I was going to say, when you get into this, can you explain who Peter Schiff is so that people know?
Yeah, Peter Schiff. He's an Austrian. Actually, he's from Connecticut, but he subscribed to the Austrian school of economics, which is over and against the Keynesian school, which is basically the world that we live in. We live in a Keynesian world. This is very important for you to understand this. The Austrians are free market, and they've predicted just about every bubble and every crash that's happened caused by the Keynesians, who tell you that there is no bubble, and even Janet Yellen says that she didn't even see this coming. Well, I don't know that she didn't see it coming because these people caused it, but if she didn't see it coming, then why is she in charge of your money supply? Peter Schiff runs Europac Financial, which is an investment company, and he does a pretty good job of that. He also ran for Senate. He's smart. He knows what he's talking about. You don't have to agree with everything he says, but it's important for you to listen to his message. In this interview, they talked about Obamacare. They talked about debt. They talked about everything else. It's pretty lengthy.
Let me add one thing to that.
Yeah,
let me add one thing. He is also the guy that predicted this crash. He's one of the few that was out
and just about every other
on it.
Yeah, and just about every other one that happened.
This guy's pretty damn savvy. I listened to a lot of his stuff. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's good. Now, you know, unfortunately, you know, he's on CNBC sometimes, and they usually, you know, ridicule him for bringing up gold or talking about the Federal Reserve.
He handles his own, though.
because he's speaking the truth, and he knows what he's talking about. But the advantage of something like Russia Today is that they don't mind airing Peter Schiff because, you know, they like that he beats up on the U.S. government. Well, your government is out of control, so you should be pretty happy beating up on it. In fact, if you're a true American, even when you have the people that you like and trust running the government, you're still not supposed to trust them. That is the premise of our experiment in liberty, is that you elect people to temporary responsibilities, you delegate them power, and you keep them in check. The ultimate check is not each branch against each other. The ultimate check is we, the people, and the states against the federal government. It's how you keep a balance going. This is about a 7.5-minute clip. It's pretty lengthy to get into a lot of things, but it's pretty important because you have to understand if you let the rhinos keep surrendering to the Democrats, we are going to be in a whole heck of a lot of trouble very, very soon. I mean, we might be in a whole heck of a lot of trouble very soon anyway. The question is, will we survive it? That's only going to happen if you elect people who believe in the Constitution, who believe in fiscal sanity, who want to help us reduce the debt and balance the budgets, which is precisely what the bankers don't want to have happen. And you have to make that happen. Here's Peter Schiff on Russia Today. Unfortunately, the Rusky that's interviewing him has a heavy commie voice, but just listen to Peter Schiff.
Absolutely. But what I cannot understand is why would Americans and yourself focus so much on healthcare rather than turning your attention to some other fields where you spend much, much more. And surely maybe market mechanisms are not given free rein here, but I think this is an issue that could wait a little, and you would benefit much more if you would address your attention to something that you know, takes so much of your resources, like, for example, war spending.
Well, healthcare, unfortunately, does take a lot of resources, and the reason we're so preoccupied with it is because it's so screwed up. But how did our healthcare system get
but
so screwed up? Government screwed
up.
Government is so involved
there?
In that sector. But they've screwed up other sectors. They screwed up education. Look at how expensive our colleges are. Yet look at how little our graduates know. I mean, the government has corrupted everything it's gotten involved in.
Okay, let me phrase my question a bit differently. I know that you are not a big fan of President Obama, and like many, you criticize him for his indecisiveness. And yet a couple of weeks ago, we witnessed him acting extremely swiftly on the issue of Syria. He was ready to bomb that country within days without even waiting for the UN report. And yet, on this particular issue, arguably much more crucial to the well-being of your country, he keeps kicking this can down the road. And I think the United States could save much more if you just avoided a war or two rather than denying some of your citizens universal health care. Don't you think so?
There's no shortage of hypocrisy in Washington, and politicians do things for political reasons. I was very critical of our intentions to get involved in Syria, and I'm glad that the president wasn't able to carry out that threat. But, you know, the reason we're able to do this is because we have the reserve currency. If the rest of the world wasn't buying up our bonds, we couldn't afford to maintain this empire. We would have to cut military spending. So it's amazing that you have our big creditors, whether in Russia or China, criticizing what we're doing, but the only reason we can do it is because you're lending us the money. If the world stopped financing our military, we couldn't afford to get so involved in so many places around the world. The only reason we can support and maintain this massive military complex is because we can borrow the money to pay for it. So you can't complain. You're financing it.
Well, that may be a good point. And I wonder, how long do you think politicians, President Obama and the Republicans, I think they are just as complicit here, how long do you think they will keep kicking the can down the road? I mean, is it just a matter of waiting until next elections? Or, I mean, when somebody will do something about that in your view?
They will kick that can down that road until the bondholders bring the road to an end. We will never stop procrastinating, right? You know, if you know a friend who's overweight and they keep telling you that they're going to start their diet next week, you know, why do they want to start it next week? Because they're not going to actually do it. Otherwise, they would just start right now.
Okay.
The government will talk. We will assure everybody that we're going to get our fiscal house in order. We just had the opportunity to do that, and we didn't. In fact, we redefined the problem. As far as we're concerned, the debt's not the problem. It's the ceiling. The problem is that we can't borrow an unlimited amount of money, because that's really what we want to do.
So what essentially you're saying is that the United States will continue acting as an addict, promising that it's going to come clean and never doing it in the long term. Now, I know that you were named Dr. Doom for predicting the 2008 crisis, and it is evident from this interview that your forecasts are not becoming any more optimistic. I wonder if the crisis, this big looming crisis that you've been alluding to in this interview and many others, if this crisis indeed happens, how would it compare to the one that we experienced back in 2008?
Well, for America, it's going to be significantly larger because it's going to involve a crash of the dollar and the U.S. bond market. During the 2008 financial crisis, the dollar and the U.S. bond market gained value, so that was a giant cushion for American citizens. It enabled the bailouts and all the government stimulus. But when the crisis is in our currency, in our bond market, we don't have that. So for America, it's going to be significantly worse. For the rest of the world, it depends on how they react. If the world feels they have to try to prop us up and lend us even more money in the crisis, then our pain will be exported. But I think that to the extent that the world wakes up and learns from the mistakes of the past, doesn't repeat what they did wrong in 2008, it could be very liberating for the rest of the world. It could be of huge benefit for our creditors And so my hope as an American citizen is that we then do the right thing. We get the right message. We get our act together. We readopt the principles of sound money and limited government. We start shutting down a lot of government for real, not a phony government shutdown, but legitimately starts shutting down all those institutions that have undermined our economic freedoms and our productivity for years.
And if, or rather when that happens, what is your contingency plan? Where do you keep your money?
You know, I've got my money invested abroad. I've got a lot of gold and silver, commodities. I do have some U.S. investments. I own a lot of oil here in the United States. But, you know, I haven't left. I mean, I still live here. I still live in America. So I'm hoping for the best. I hope it doesn't get so bad that people have to leave. I know there are people who are leaving. They're afraid of what might happen in this economic catastrophe, in a hyperinflationary environment, what type of civil unrest there might be. So there are people that are leaving.
You're saying that you still have some hope and that you're keeping some of your money in the American instruments, but I wonder if you indeed believe that this giant Ponzi scheme to which you alluded earlier collapses, why do you think there would be some safe havens? Because the world is very interconnected these days, and if something happens in the United States, with the degree to which the rest of the world is invested in the United States, why do you think those assets that you're investing in will still be safe?
Well, remember, if I'm looking for a dollar collapse where the dollar really loses its role as a reserve currency or is significantly marked down in value, that's a very different situation, because if I own the currencies or assets outside the U.S., they're going to automatically rise in value. But what you have to understand is right now, America is a net drain on the global economy because we consume more than we produce. We're borrowing more than we save, which means the rest of the world has to suffer because they have to support this. They have to subsidize this. And so when the dollar goes down and Americans lose their purchasing power advantage relative to everybody else, the world is now going to be awash in resources, awash in consumer goods that were previously being used by Americans are now going to be freed up and enjoyed by other people. So it's not terrible for the people who have been bearing the burden, have that burden removed. I mean, everybody has it backwards. They think we do the world a favor by consuming everything and borrowing everything, but it's the other way around.
There it is. Probably said a lot of things. If you haven't heard him before, or you don't understand Austrian economics, it sounded pretty scary. But the fact is that just because something is scary doesn't mean that you pretend it's not there if it's real. What he's talking about is real. It is happening. It is a created and engineered economic collapse and the death of the U.S. dollar, which is currently the Federal Reserve note, which is nothing but debt. Okay, and it has corrupted and taken over your general government, your federal government. The good news is the way that our founding fathers set up this system is that is not the only government. Unfortunately, it's the biggest, most expensive, and it's the government that has its boot on your neck. But you've got your state government, your county government, your local government, you've got the grand juries, you've got your sheriffs. We have the ability to take back the power and restore the republic. What you have to do is increase the numbers and get people aware, wake up the sheep, get people who are distracted by bread and circuses to realize that that gravy train is coming to an end if they don't get on board and get it fixed now. Now, understand something. In order to succeed in this war, you need to have a pincer movement. You need pressure from below and pressure from above. The pressure from below is your local government, your county, your state, your governor. Make sure that these people are conservatives and adhere to the Constitution. They have the power of nullification. They have ultimate recourse to secession if necessary. And you need pressure from above, which is the national government, which is the rhino Democrat duopoly. But there is a third party already up there. There is a third party within the GOP. It is a minority right now. It is a minority in the GOP that represents the majority of America. You need to give them more power and more numbers so that they can take over the Republican Party.
Yeah, they don't need a lot more numbers.
No, they don't. But then 2014 is right around the corner, and what you need
look at the havoc they're causing right now with the minority numbers they have. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. No, you're right. And the reason that they're able to fight for your liberty and fight for your individual rights while they are a minority is because of the genius way that the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution. Revenue and appropriations happen in the House, which is all 435 members are up for re-election every year. 2014, all of them are up for re-election. Re-elect the conservatives, the libertarians, the Tea Party, the Liberty Movement candidates, and get more of them in there. Find out who they are in your area. Remember, these districts are gerrymandered, and the duopoly controls every precinct. It's a very tough fight. But as you can see, it can be done. We did it in 2010. Unfortunately, most of them caved, and some rhinos like Marco Rubio snuck through as Tea Party candidates. Vet your local candidates. Find the true champions of liberty and replace the statist bastards. That's your job. That's what you have to do in 2014. That's also true for a third of the Senate. Bob Corker is up for re-election. Mitch McConnell is up for re-election. Lindsey Lightness Loeffler's Gramnesty is up for re-election. Maybe you can recall McCain in Arizona. Get rid of these rhinos and take over the Republican Party and then take over the House and the Senate and check Obama until he's gone, and then we can talk 2016. 2016 is a long way away. 2014 is right around the corner. 2013 is a huge race here in the Commonwealth of Virginia where the national Democrat machine is turning up for the Democrat candidate over and against the Republican candidate who was just endorsed by Rand Paul and Ron Paul. So it's very important that, and what's happening here in Virginia, right, we had a grassroots convention to pick the Republican ticket, and we have a very conservative ticket, constitutionalist and grassroots. The establishment wants to do away with conventions because the grassroots infiltrate and take over, right, because we stand up for the Constitution. What they want is a wide primary where they can influence the voting public who's distracted with money and ads. You have to make these kind of things happen to restore power to the grassroots, to get people who are informed and aware and involved to be able to pick the candidates and then hold those candidates accountable. And then you will have more Mike Lees and Rand Pauls and Ted Cruz's and Louis Gohmert's and Justin Amash's. That's how you do it. It's that double move. And what Schiff pointed out is very, very true. They have raped you, put you in debt for generations in order to float this fake bubble which does nothing but give them and their connected buddies more money and more power at your expense. They rip you off by making milk cost, you know, 20% more than it did last year. In the meantime, they funnel, you know, 100% dollars that they just created out of nothing to Raytheon and Boeing and Solyndra and all these other companies that are connected to the politicians who then funnel money back into them for their campaign so that they can get all these slick ads and convince people that you should vote for me because I'm a real conservative or I'm actually a liberal progressive. I mean, look, Obama ran as a liberal, right? What's so liberal about what he's doing? I mean, other than possibly bringing forward single payer, which really isn't liberal, it's corporatized, but look at his position on drones, on the wars, on spying. These are things that people hated under George Bush, but for some reason the left loves them because Obama's doing it. Well, guess what? He ain't going to be there forever. You going to be that happy Mr. and Mrs. Lefty when it's Jeb Bush and Mr. and Mrs. Republican? If you elect Jeb Bush in 2016, it's over. The only way you're going to prevent that from happening is to make 2014 count. Get busy on 2014. Mm-hmm. Go, Chris. Well, I was just thinking you rolled off the video and went off into some other things, but that's okay. It was all good, but I was just thinking about a couple things that Schiff said, and I always, you know, it's that point of history. I mean, this guy has nailed economic factors for years, for decades. He knows his stuff. But when she asked him about where do you have your money, he goes, "I have most of it abroad." And she goes, "Well, isn't that a risk because, you know, everything is tied to the U.S. dollar?" And he goes, "No." And that was a really subtle little point there. He said, if the dollar crashes and is no longer the reserve currency, all these other currencies of the world, whoever rolls up and takes over that role, i.e. China, Russia, BRICS, you know, takes over that role, there will be gains. Because the reason that the world economy is hurting so bad is because of our bad fiscal policies. That was so key. That's kind of, when I found this vid and said we got to play this vid, because of that, because he was talking about something that people don't understand. They think that we control the world. They think that it all revolves around us. Well, the world is getting sick of revolving around our corrupt politicians, and they've been working hard for years. You know, when you look at the economies like Russia, which has, 13% debt to GDP, and we're over 100, you know what I'm saying? When you look at stuff like that, now you're looking at a country who fell economically 20 years ago when the USSR fell, and they went through some ups and downs getting their system up and running, but their number one goal was to clean it all up, pay off all their debt, and to build their economy internally, national, taking care of their country. I wish I was living in a country with a 13% debt-to-GDP ratio. Can you imagine the different conversation we'd be having right now? And so when you look at this kind of stuff, who's going to survive the crash? Now, where's all the manufacturing? When you look at America, when you look at the U.S. through all of our recessions, and you can go online and you can read every bump, bubble, recession, you know, that we've had, and you can study them, or you can just go back to the turn of the century and come forward and look at the recessions and the Great Depression. Every one of them, we were a manufacturing country, we exported, and we had a gold standard. Now we don't make anything. We import everything, and we don't have a gold standard. That's the one great difference in this situation compared to all the rest, because people like to compare, you know, what we just went through. It's, the worst since the Great Depression. It's different today. And we have never, and including during Carter's era, because the Fed refused to print. They wanted the correction to happen. This is the first time that we have – I mean, the Fed is dumping all this money in the market at 0.something% interest rate. They don't do that normally because they want the correction to happen. This is the first time I've ever seen an ongoing – and nobody will talk about it. Now, Peter Schiff will talk about it. We will talk about it. But nobody wants the correction to occur, and they keep throwing this Band-Aid, you know, printing this money, borrowing this money, throwing it on top of it with these low interest rates, which you said earlier was so key that none of this money, you know, the fiat system, you know, where the bank takes $100 and they split it, and now it's $1,000, and they lend it out, and they put it in investments, and they risk it, and all these types of things, that money's still sitting in the system, and a lot of it hasn't moved. That's the weird one. Maybe you can explain that one, but it's kind of like there's no correction yet. You know, all you hear is, oh, the stock market's up, and yeah, they're playing with fake money, you know, and it's not
really
up.
They don't want a correction.
If you look at it.
They don't want a correction, Chris. That's the issue. Look, the fact is that, quote, the correction, which is where the market is trying to get back to market rates, is inevitable because ultimately, long-term, market forces win. Interventionists can only do things in the short term, which is why they create the boom-bust cycle and they create investment bubbles. And that's what we're seeing now, a currency bubble. Now, you mentioned all the money that they've been pumping in the system. Well, we've exported most of that, which is what's pissing off all these other countries because we're devaluing the dollar and they're pegged to the dollar. And they want off, but right now they can't do it because they're addicts just like we are. But be sure that they'll try to jump off before us. We have to beat them to the punch and get back to a sound money system before they do, or we are screwed. But the thing is that all this money floating around has been pumped into the banks at, like you said, I think it's like somewhere between 0 and 0.25% interest. They're turning around and buying the government debt at 2 and 3%. That's a huge profit for banks. They love that. So the money that Bernanke has created has not been, to use a Keynesian term, velocitized into the economy at large in large numbers yet. At some point that will happen, or all the foreign money comes rushing back to the country to buy hard assets because they realize we're sitting on $1.3 trillion of worthless paper, and so the Chinese, which they're already doing, we'll start buying up our real estate, buying up our businesses. Look, the Chinese already own most of Africa, and we're going to stop being the dominant power if we keep allowing this to happen. And that's very bad for everybody in these United States. Now, the only way to prevent it, the system's going to have to shake this out. What they're trying to do is delay it, and the longer they delay it, the deeper and larger the problem becomes. It's going to happen. At some point, it is going to happen. The question is, how short will it be? Will we rip it off like a Band-Aid, or will we try to, quote, manage the decline? And what will you replace it with? Because the dollar is going to – the current U.S. dollar, the Federal Reserve note, is going to die. What are you going to replace it with? Well, these globalist bankers want to replace it with SDRs, which are special drawing rights on the IMF or the Bancor, or even a regional currency like the euro called the Amero, you know, to piggyback on the whole NAFTA debacle. That's what they're going to try to do. What we want, what you want, is a commodity-backed U.S. Treasury dollar. Now, the last few times that we've had anything close to that, you know, during the war for Southern independence, Lincoln gave that a shot, and, well, he got shot. And then the last time that we did it in this country was when Kennedy issued the silver certificates. He got shot, too. You do your own math on that one. But the simple fact is that one president can't do it. One politician can't do it. 10 of them can't do it. It is going to require a massive amount of vigor on the part of the American people. And this is not a partisan issue. This cuts across all lines, from Occupy to Tea Party to Libertarians. This cuts across everything. Educate people on this. Educate yourself. A great resource for this, go to Mises.org. That's Mises.org. You can get a lot of free information there. Download the books. Learn about how this works. G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, is very helpful. If you don't feel like reading it, it's a pretty thick book. You can actually have him read it to you just by Googling it on YouTube. G. Edward Griffin, Creature from Jekyll Island. Understand how this works. Teach other people. It's not that complicated when you really start to understand it, but the problem is that the Morgan, J.P. Morgan and Gramsci, they basically – corrupted our entire educational system, not only to dumb everybody down and make us compliant slaves who obey the government, but also to be economically illiterate. Because if you know how money
works, terrible.
Then you can grow the numbers and you can get representatives instead of politicians who actually go there to fix the problem. Because a change is coming. The only question is, do you manage the change and restore the republic, or do you let them manage the decline and we fade away into the ash heap of history like Rome? That's what this is coming down to. And the only way that you're going to make this happen is to support real conservative and real libertarian candidates within the GOP at the national level. Work locally with the best candidates, whether they're independent, Constitution Party, Libertarian, Republican, I don't care. But at the national level, it's going to have to be Republicans because they control it. That party controls it. So the best thing to do is take over the party. And the way that you do that is find people who tell you what they're going to do and then do what they say they're going to do, people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, and notice the way that they talk. Republicans love to be reactionary, right? They like to talk conservative and tell you how bad the opposition is and that they're going to stand up and do something about it. Remember, they voted 41 times to defund Obamacare. Every one of those votes was bullshit because they knew that it was going to get killed in the Senate, except for the one that caused the government shutdown, because that one actually counted. And it was going to happen. Reid was forced to shut down the government, but the fact that that bill went through where he put the Obamacare funding language back into the continuing resolution was because the Republicans surrendered by voting for cloture on debate over and against Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Sessions, and all those other guys. I think there was 27 Republicans, 27 of 46 Republicans caved right there and then – the shutdown happened, and they were freaked out about it because they knew they were going to get blamed for it by the media. And so they engineered the cave.
You know what the problem is they blamed them. They blamed themselves. That was the problem.
Right.
You know, screw
right.
the
they
media.
The
media,
Tea Party
the media could have been overcome. You know, I mean, look at Syria. You know, that all happened because of grassroots and the Internet. And same with the Second Amendment battle. And Rand Paul's filibuster on drones, or wasn't really drones, it was more of a philosophical issue. Yeah, and you know, so all this stuff is important, and the bottom line is that for me, what I saw when I saw those Republicans vote for cloture, and a lot of people don't understand what that means, but that means that you move the bill forward and you drop from a 60 vote threshold down to what's the lower number? need to pass the bill down to 50-something. But it changes
51.
The dynamics
51.
Of what the dynamics of the vote needed to pass a bill. Republicans handed that, not all of them, but Republicans in the Senate, those 27, handed that power back to Harry Reid. See, that's the lesson. I mean, to me, that was one of the greatest things that happened there, was it showed the true colors of who these people are. And most of these people,
right.
some of them are new, but most of them have been in there 6 and 7 and 8 terms. You know, they're like mummified into their position in the Senate and the House.
Yeah.
Those are the people that have to go. And I know that in one of my frustrations is watching the social media battles that goes on over, you know, the Democrats this, the Democrats that, the, you know, Obama this, Obama that. And I'm thinking they're doing what they told their constituents they were going to do. They're following their word. Now, you may not agree with it, but they have their principles of where they want to take this country, and they stand on it, and they work together, and they're unified, and they get it done. Quit bitching about that. I mean, if we had the same thing on our side, then we would be stopping them 9 times out of 10 on these issues. The reason we had a tax increase, the reason the debt ceiling's been increased every year under Obama, I mean, it's terrible, is because Republicans cave. And that's what you have to address. If you ever want a future, anything close to what you thought America was supposed to be or what it was like when you were growing up and you want it back, you know, in those parameters, that republic, if you want that back, you have to defeat the progressive GOP before you can defeat the Democrats. The Tea Party showed that you can defeat the Democrats. Newt Gingrich mm-hmm. did it. Reagan did it. On and on mm-hmm. and on. There's plenty of history to show when people rise up. But if the people in your party are acting like Democrats and backing the Democrats and turning on their own people, well, Democrats don't even have to fight. Obama
yep.
went golfing while the Republicans fought all over themselves.
Well, remember,
I mean,
that's
got to be a wake-up call.
Absolutely. And look, remember right. something. Obama didn't win the last election. He got 13% less votes. In other words, 13% of the people that voted for him in 2008 realized that it was bullshit and didn't vote for him in 2012. Oh, but
yeah.
somehow he's the president.
Rove won it
That's
for
because,
him.
Yeah, Karl Rove found the one guy that couldn't beat him. Why is that? Because Mitt Romney is the guy that built Romneycare. Mitt Romney agrees with Barack Obama on just about every position, and
yeah.
conservatives smelled a rhino, and they didn't vote for him. Okay?
Yeah, he was worse than
the
rhino.
Republican Party wins. Yeah, the Republican Party wins when it's conservative and libertarian, and that's good. I don't care if it's Republican. I don't care. I mean, if you could take over the Democrat Party, do that, but you got no shot at that. At least you have a shot with the GOP. It wins when it's conservative and libertarian. But see, the thing is, they don't want the party to win. They want to win their seat. McCain wants his seat. McConnell wants his seat. Corker wants his seat. But they don't want the Republican Party to win because then they might actually be exposed for the fact that they're running the Democrat agenda. When they're the minority party, they can always blame the Democrats for the agenda while they support the agenda. But what you saw during the shutdown, the CR debates, the debt ceiling debate, you got these guys exposed. And they hate Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul for exposing them because that means that the jig is up. Unfortunately, the only people who know that these guys are exposed are political junkies or people who listen to this show or Chris Green show or Ben Swan show or something like that. We need to get the others informed so that we can oust these rhinos and end this schism. Have a Republican Party that actually follows its own platform, right, where it has open primaries that are open to all the candidates who will be available, not just their selected rhino. And you saw that in the last election where they just picked off the conservative candidates one by one. And then they went after Gingrich when he suddenly had a surge in South Carolina where 30% more people showed up to vote in that primary than had voted for George Bush. That was huge. And then they shut him down in Florida, and then they turned their sights and their targets over to Ron Paul, which went all the way to the convention. And Ron Paul is going to be nominated from the floor, and John Boehner and John Sununu and little Prince Pubic stole the election for Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney might have gotten the, you know, numbers anyway, because most delegates might have just been regular Republican voters who don't know any better. But the fact is that they didn't even allow the fight to happen because they were scared. You need to make them fear you more than they fear their consultants, lobbyists, backers, and the establishment. That's what you have to do. This is a great opportunity because they've exposed themselves. And the way that you push it forward is you find candidates who actually mean what they say, who have a record of doing what they say, and who actually understand what conservatism, which again is two-thirds libertarianism, is for, not just merely talk against. It's fine to be against Obama, but the fact is most of the country is against Obama because he's turned out to be the worst president in U.S. history, even for some progressives and liberals. But that's not enough. You have to have a positive message. If you're listening live, we're going to lose you in just under 10 minutes. If you're listening your mobile device or your browser at midnight Eastern, you'll be cut off. If you want to listen live, call in 646-649-1013, and you can listen on your phone. If you're listening to a download or a podcast, just keep rolling. We're going to try to wrap this up in the next 40 minutes. But, Chris, speaking of people who can talk about what conservatism is for, as opposed to just being against whatever the Democrats say. We're going to listen to two of them, but we'll start with the shorter one. It's about 8 minutes. I hate to say shorter one. It's 8 minutes. But this is Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee, speaking at the Values Voter Summit. Now, some of you out there are not necessarily social conservatives, especially some of you libertarians. But here's the thing to understand. You cannot win in the party that professes to be conservative without social values voters. Now, just because you need them to win doesn't mean that this party has to do something like force people to do things they don't want to do. The method of how to engage these, quote, social issues, which are really moral, is not necessarily the federal government. And remember something, anytime you give the federal government power over something, it tends to keep it. And the very simple fact is the Supreme Court decision, for example, the biggest dividing issue is abortion, right? The Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade, that, quote, legalized abortion, did not legalize abortion. The Supreme Court does not make law. It was the pro-life Republicans that legalized abortion by passing laws against Roe v. Wade, which essentially allowed some abortions to be legal. So don't think that just because you can do something in the federal government, it'll turn out to be good for you. And what you handed was you handed the Republicans an issue that they could speak to and woo pro-life and Christian voters for 40 years without ever actually doing anything in that direction. So don't fall for it. Federalism works. And the fact is, if you want abortion to end in this country, you have to make it happen by changing people's hearts and minds, not holding a gun to their head through the government. So understand something. You need these social values voters to win. And the only way you do that is to actually put forward a political program that allows people to have their voices heard at their local level and make effective change. And Mike Lee hit on that. This 8 minutes will take us into overtime, so if you want to listen, call in 646-649-1013. If you're in podcast, just keep rolling. Chris and I will come back on the other side of this, and then we'll listen to a fairly good speech by Ted Cruz, and then bring it home. But this is Mike Lee, the Values Voter speech, and he tells you what conservatism is for. It's pretty powerful.
You see, the principles that unite us are also the principles that help position us to win the hearts and the minds of voters across this great land. Too often in this town, we stop thinking about the things that matter most, and we get caught up in the thick and thin of things, so caught up that we not only stop thinking big, we often stop thinking at all, which leads to other problems like $17 trillion of debt, widespread government dysfunction, Obamacare, and much, much more. I want to tell you a story about my boys. I've got twin boys, 18 years old. Their names are James and John. These sons of thunder, as I sometimes call them, are good boys. They go to church, they read their scriptures, they're 4.0 students. On this particular day, we were listening to the radio in my car. We were listening to a song on the radio, a song we had heard many times, a popular song, but a song that I hadn't listened to very carefully in the past. All of a sudden, for one particular reason or another, I started listening to the words this day. And I realized that these words were not necessarily good. They were not the words that any God-fearing father of teenage boys would want his kids hearing. All of a sudden, I pointed out to them, this is a raunchy song. This is terrible. My son John, without batting an eye, said to me, Dad, it's not bad if you don't think about it. All of a sudden, the horrific thought occurred to me, my son John must be advising the President of the United States. You see, a $17 trillion debt isn't bad, but only if you don't think about it. Adding to that debt at a rate of almost $1 trillion a year isn't bad, if you don't think about it. And a massive government takeover of our health care system isn't bad, if you don't think about it. If you do think about it, of course, all those things are horrible. If you do think about it, the very best argument against Obamacare is the president's conduct during the first 10 days of this shutdown. I mean, look what's happened. The president is using the vast, immense power of the federal government to hurt the American people. Why? In order to win a political argument. What happens then when we turn over some of the most private, intimate decisions in our lives, our health care system, to the government? When will that be used as a tool against us? We must stop it. We must defund it. We cannot accept it. My friend Ted Cruz and I, and along with a few others who have stood with us, by the way, I see my friend Rafael Cruz, Ted's father, here with us this morning. Thank you, sir, for sending a great son to Washington. Ted Cruz and I have been roundly criticized for our actions in the attempt to defund Obamacare. We make no apologies. We stand with you. We stand with the people. You know, you all are here today because you are thinking about it. Our party, my party, the Republican Party, is at its best when we're thinking about it. Unfortunately, some people succumb to the notion that we can't think deeply in the middle of big battles on heated issues. I say that this is exactly what we should be doing, and we should be doing it today and every day. Because when we stop and we come back home to being the party of big ideas, good things happen. Throughout our party's history, the bigger our ideas, the more we've succeeded. Ronald Reagan's conservative revolution, the 1994 contract with America, George W. Bush's compassionate conservatism, whatever you might think of any of the above, they all showed in their time that it's the ideas and the principles, rather than the personalities or the discrete interest groups, that unify the Republican Party and propel it both to electoral success and to governing success. Lately, it seems, we haven't had nearly enough of either. Some say it's because we need better candidates. Some say it's because we need a better message. Others say it's a dispute about tactics and strategy or even about technology. And certainly those things all play a part. But to my mind, what the party of ideas is really missing is ideas. For too long, Republicans have put off the difficult task of developing a modernized, principled, conservative reform agenda to meet many of the new challenges of the 21st century. There are many reasons why this is so, but I think the biggest of all is that in this city, conservatives often fall into a trap. A trap that involves defining ourselves by what we're against. We're against big government. big government debt, higher taxes, higher regulations, and of course, well, Obamacare, we're against that. But perhaps we haven't invested nearly as much time and energy communicating what we as conservatives are for. I'm talking about more than simply the policies we advocate. Conservatism is not about the bills we want to pass. It's about the nation we want to be. As you know, for conservatives, politics is far more than just a means. It is an end. The real goal, what conservatives are really for, is not an agenda for government. It is a vision of society, a view of the world we want to build together. Together, that's a word, together, that's essential, and it's too often overlooked. It's part of what we as conservatives believe. We're all committed to bedrock principles of individual liberty, individual rights, and personal responsibility. But the very reason we fight for individual freedom is the strength, the vitality, and the value of communities that free individuals form. The alternative to big government is not just small government. The ultimate alternative to big government is a thriving, flourishing nation of cooperative communities where your success depends on the quality of your service. It's a free enterprise economy where everyone works for everyone else, competing to see who can figure out the best way to help the most people. And it's a voluntary civil society where free individuals come together voluntarily to meet each other's needs, to fill in the gaps, and to make sure that no one gets left behind. But this occurs among individuals in communities, not as a result of a government mandate.
Yes. He's right. You know, Gingrich said that you don't run their guy against your guy against their guy, whether it's in a local race, a congressional race, Senate race, or even for president. You run your vision against their vision. But rhinos don't have any vision because the only thing rhinos do is what the Democrats do. They like to speak against what the Democrats do and then do what the Democrats do, and the Democrats win. That's what the rhinos do. Conservatives and libertarians in the Republican Party put forward a vision, and the vision that Mike Lee outlined is one where it isn't about what the government does. It is about what the government does to support communities, free markets, and individual rights. Remember, the government in this country, as it's designed by the Constitution, is supposed to protect individual rights, not provide you with benefits, freebies, and all this other stuff which they have to take from somebody else. That's the vision. That's the conservative vision. That's the libertarian vision. Now, there might be some differences regarding the degree of military involvement or what civil liberties and all that kind of stuff, but these differences are very minor compared to the differences that libertarians and conservatives have with rhinos and Democrats. And that is how you not only win races, but it is how you get good governance and how we get more liberty. What do you think of that, Chris?
I think that he nailed it. And, you know, it's very interesting sometimes when you hear a clip, you know, for the third or fourth time, like when you're listening on the show and you can't talk and you're just kind of listening to the clip. You know, Newt talked about this stuff in the primary. He had ideas. He had solutions. He had, you know, government reform. And he went after all of these things that he had, number one, experienced because of the Contract with America, actually going in with a purpose and a plan and the population behind you, you know, to get it done, and then going in there and fighting the battles and succeeding at most of it, you know, getting things implemented, things reformed, debt decreased, welfare reform, you know, all those different things. You know, they went in there with a plan. And you know, that's one of the things that I admired in the primary was listening to his mind on all these facets of government that needed to be, you know, worked over. And, you know, even talking about the waste and the fraud and all those different things. And that's got attacked because nobody, there's so many people that feed off the government trickle-down. You want to talk about trickle-down economics? We have it in this country today. $3.6 trillion a year to keep this thing open and running. And you look at that country, that company in Canada that got the no-compete bid for the website that doesn't work, the hundreds of millions of dollars. How in the hell does that kind of crap happen? You know, there's laws on bidding processes. You know, my dad did a lot of business with DOE through the years in his lifetime as a physicist. And there's all these rules and laws and, you know, how bids have to be done and how many people you have to bring to the table and how many bids you have to get and all that kind of crap. Same thing as a contractor for myself if I go after a government contract. And here we are, you know, this debacle, this failure, this crash in the system, hundreds of millions of dollars or $1 billion I've heard recently, up to $1 billion spent on this freaking thing that, that people can't even log on and sign up for health care on. And it was a no-bid situation. And you think, how in the hell did we get here? And I love what Sessions does when he does his government waste and fraud report. It never gets mainstream media. It never gets any traction. You know, just like auditing the Fed or any of those issues about, you know, going after the real core issues and corruption of our country. People, there's so many people that get some kind of trickle-down money through the government, and that's what's broken. And until that changes, all we're going to do is chip away at the edges of this stuff. And the thing is that, and, you know, if you're a follower of Peter Schiff like you and I are, you know, he's saying it is unsustainable. Ron Paul, it's unsustainable. We don't know exactly when, but this system is broken. And it isn't broken because America isn't great. It's broken because there's so damn many people feeding off the government tit.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I'm not talking about people
on welfare. I'm talking about corporations. You know what I mean? All of it.
Go ahead. Yep. No, that's exactly it. It's the corporations that are feeding off the tit, like you said. And they employ some of that money to buy a voting base, and that's why they're going to try and sneak this amnesty bill through both the Republicans, the RINOs, and the Democrats, because basically that's 11 to 20 million undocumented Democrat voters, and they're going to sneak them in and buy them so that they can retain their positions of power and keep the gravy train rolling at your expense, the expense not only financially, but the expense of your liberty. But the fact is that this system is coming to a close. The age of the Federal Reserve note is nearly over. And the only question that remains is, do you replace it with a sound money system, restore the Constitution, revitalize the militia, and restore and reclaim your liberty, or do you allow them to push you into a global fiat paper scheme and continue their gravy train at your expense? That's the only question. And the way that you do that is you take over this Republican Party and you check the Democratic agenda and you check the Federal Reserve and you check the globalists and the transnational corporations and the corporatists. That's the only way you do it. Now, are you going to do it in 2014? No. Are you going to do it in 2016? No. But if you don't start, you will never do it, and they have won. What this war that we're seeing right now has exposed is the rhino squishes for what they are. You need to inform everybody else. You need to get, every week, you need to get 10 people aware of what's going on so that in 2014 you can grow the ranks of libertarian and conservative representatives, and in 2016 you can get the White House and you can start reversing this. And the thing is, it's not that hard to reverse. Yes, we've got to shake out the dross. That's going to be terrible. We're probably going to have some significant economic problems, which we'd better all be preparing for individually as best as we can. But the simple fact is, if you merely unleash the creative energy of the American free market with all of our natural resources, especially oil and gas, okay, and you start cutting the government bloated, wasteful expenditures by 1% per year, within 5 years you'll have a balanced budget, and you'll actually be able to start chipping away at the debt.
And,
you'll have an economy again.
Right, and everybody
enthusiasm.
Will be wealthier. Exactly. And it can be done. We're at the point where we have the opportunity to do it.
Before.
You know, when you're addicted to something, it rules your life, whether it's sex, booze, heroin, cocaine, it doesn't matter. You're addicted to it. It rules your life until you hit bottom and you ask for help. Yeah. Okay? We're at that stage now where we're coming to the end. We're going to come to the bottom very, very soon. But it's nothing to fear. It is an opportunity to get back on the right track for a real recovery, as opposed to this fake bullshit that they've been floating to you as a recovery, which is nothing more than papering over another bubble. Okay? It is the time to do it. You saw the power of the grassroots in the Obamacare defunding, delaying, the continuing resolutions, the government shutdown, even the debt ceiling fight. You saw the power of the grassroots. Now is not the time to get afraid and think that because the rhinos surrendered that you've lost. In fact, because the rhinos surrendered is now your opportunity to win. Now is the time to increase the ranks, increase the numbers. Most of America is where we are. They just don't know who to vote for. They don't know who to support because they're confused. Just because someone says they're Tea Party doesn't make them Tea Party. Marco Rubio is not Tea Party, even though he was correct on the Obamacare issue. Look at what he's doing on the amnesty. He's caving like a rhino because he is a rhino. Karl Rove and all the other funds out there that are set up to primary any Tea Party challenge or existing Liberty Movement or Tea Party candidate, they'll help you expose, because whoever they're supporting, that's the guy you don't want. And so this kind of schism, this kind of division, this kind of war that we're experiencing, it clarifies. It tells you who your friends are, and it tells you who your enemies are. Sometimes your friends are not 100% like you. Well, they shouldn't be. This is America. We're a diverse nation. We have different views, different ideas. That's why we have a federal system with 50 different states and 50 different governments. But the fact is that if you agree with someone 80% on the fact that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, on the fact that you want sound money, on the fact that you don't want to invade every sand pit across the world, but you want to have a strong defense against anybody who might try to invade us, then these are the people you make common cause with. And then you can fight about the quibbling issues later. But if you don't team up now, if libertarians and conservatives and honest conservative Democrats, because there are still some out there, they voted for Reagan back in 1980 and 84, if you don't team up now, the globalists are going to win. And these progressive, useful idiots that they have are going to realize that those people never had their backs either. I mean, Obama came in with this hope and change stuff, but he's not hopey changey. He's George Bush on steroids. And so you got to get off supporting your team and start supporting the Constitution and those who support it. This is a clarifying moment and the opportunity is there. Chris, we're going to close out with 11 minutes of Ted Cruz's speech, but before we get to that, let's do some final thoughts. So, you know, this is the time for us to strike, so let's hear what you have to say about it.
Well, back, you know, after 2012 and everybody was all ooh and on and weeping and gnashing their teeth, you know, I knew Romney was going to lose, and that was just given to me, so I didn't have that kind of emotional turmoil. And I also knew something was going to come out of this, that it was going to get ugly enough that people were going to wake up. That's really what it needed, because if Romney would have won, he'd be managing the decline and doing most of the same things that Obama's doing, including Romney. Obamacare, interesting. But this has forced a lot of things to the surface. And the way I look at it is the same way that you were just articulating, that what it's done is it's shown where the battle is at. Because there's always going to be a fight. I mean, liberty, you know, is a battle. And Ronald Reagan, you know, summed it up well. You know, you're one generation away from losing your freedom, so you have to stay diligent and stay on it. And so there's a couple different things. Number one, it's re-clarified that how bad socialism is and how bad those people are that want to have power in that system and how many mistakes they're willing to make off of your back to get there, number one. Number two, what it's clarified was the corruption inside the GOP and who those people are. They exposed themselves. They couldn't help it. Ted Cruz trumped them, and they got all mouthy, and they're still mouthing off. The left isn't even, you know, they're all worried about what Obamacare, the rollout, looks like to the public, and you got a bunch of senators and representatives starting to turn on Obamacare now because they're coming up for election, and they know their butts on the line. They're worried about that, and you still got the rhinos over here beating up on Cruz. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me, but anyway. So what it's done is it's defined, you know, it's shone, can't even talk, a bright light on the whole situation. And so you can step back and you can look at this thing and go, okay, here's the battle. They're weak and they're crumbling. Those guys are weak and freaked out and making all kinds of mistakes. And here's the people doing the good work. Okay, now I got to support them. And then I need to find out in my state who's running for the House. Are my senators up for re-election? Who's running? Where do they stand on these issues? It isn't hard. You go to the Internet, go to Google, you can see all their votes, what they stand for. I mean, the information's there, you know, and if you don't know how to get there and learn it, you got to learn it or find a friend that knows how to put the information together. I mean, I would say that's what you and I do the most of. Is just sift through the masses of information and bring the best stuff to bear and then connect the dots. I mean, that's why I feel like I do. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. But so when you look out across this, you know, the future, which is 2014, that's the first major step. You want to support the good guys and you want to oust the bad guys who are being primaried. And then not every state is going to have. You may have a guy that you don't want to reelect. You may not have anybody primarying them. So there you are. Oh, well, you do the best you can, you know, and that's the key. So to me, it's all good. It's all positive. Has it been a crappy 4 years? Yeah. Or 5 years now? Yeah, it has. It's been terrible. And the last two years of Bush. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the wars and endless wars and spreading democracy and trillions of dollars, trillions and trillions. I mean, I didn't even know what a trillion was a couple decades ago. Never even heard the word. And here we are, $17 trillion in climate and 100 plus trillion in unfunded liabilities. What in the hell? Where did these numbers come from, Rex? You know, I feel like I've been transported to another time and dimension. So, you know, so here we are in the situation where you go, who am I, what do I believe in, what do I stand for, and who can I trust, you know, to fight the good fight? You know, this is not a freaking sports game. It isn't win, lose, my team, their team. It is core value, what's important, and are we going to stay America? Or are we going to become some state of some UN-sanctioned globalist power? I mean, it can get pretty funky, you know. So, anyway, that's my input on that one.
No, I think you nailed it. And just so that to answer your question, I know it was rhetorical, but you asked where those numbers come from. Those numbers come from Liberty Street in Manhattan, downtown Manhattan, to be specific, because that's where the New York branch of the Federal Reserve is housed. And the New York branch of the Federal Reserve is the one in charge of the whole show. It ain't the one down here on Constitution Avenue. It ain't the mouthpiece of the Federal Reserve, which is currently Ben Bernanke and is soon to be Janet Yellen, who hasn't started yelling yet, but she will be soon enough, okay? It is the New York branch, which is controlled by J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo, the International Bank of Settlements and all this other crap, and they're basically enslaving you with invisible chains called fiat currency. You'd better learn what that means. Like I said, go to Mises.org and look it up. You can learn it. It's not that complicated. It is your duty as a person who is supposed to live free in a country with a free market economy. You have to understand how these things work. And, you know, the important thing is that it is up to you. You may not want the responsibility, but guess what? liberty ain't free. If you want to be free, there is a commensurate duty that goes along with it, and that duty is to know what's going on, know who the politicians are, know what the rules are, know how the Constitution works, and you have to enforce it.
Know how the economy works.
Yeah, it's very simple stuff.
Understand economics.
Yeah, and you don't have to be an economics whiz. It's some basic, simple stuff. It's not that complicated. Don't be afraid of it. Learn it. Know it. Share it. And apply it. That's the important thing. Now, we're doing this work. We're trying to get this information out to you. We're getting it out to the grassroots because that is where the key victory is going to be. But we cannot do it alone. Mike Lee can't do it alone. Ted Cruz can't do it alone. Rand Paul can't do it alone. Justin Amash can't do it alone. Rex and Chris can't do it alone. In fact, we can't do anything. We're just a couple of guys speaking to each other about this stuff unless you get people to listen to us. So you've got to share the show. Go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook. Like the page. You will get in your newsfeed notifications of when we're broadcasting and other vital action items to take against the rhinos and the Democrats and start winning. Join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia where we have all the articles that we use. The clips from the show are all there as YouTubes. You can listen to them. Go to Coalition of Freedom, which is Chris's group, where we have in-depth discussions, and he puts these big pictures up with big topics, and we have alternate news sources available, and we triangulate it and try to dig down and get to the truth and figure out, okay, well, what can we do? Who do we support? Who do we want to defeat? These are the important things, especially with 2014 coming up right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And if you're in Virginia, that's next week. Next week, we've got a big race coming up, and no matter how you feel about Ken Cuccinelli and E.W. Jackson and Mark Obenchain, I hate to tell you this if you're a libertarian, but Sarvis doesn't have a chance. Now, what the Republicans just did probably hurt Ken Cuccinelli, but Rand Paul and Ron Paul have both endorsed Ken Cuccinelli, who is a grassroots candidate. You don't have to agree with his position on abortion. You don't have to agree with his position on gay marriage. These things are not really going to come into play that significantly, but you do have to agree with his position on taxes, on the Constitution, on Obamacare, and he is the first one to sue the administration over Obamacare as Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So, you know, get involved, get active, make the decision of who you want to be, like Chris said. Do you want to be a free American or do you want to be an indebted slave? Those are your choices, and it's up to you to do something about it. So, you know, join us next week. Chris and I will be back 10 p.m. Eastern Sunday night. And remember that that's actually an hour earlier because we I think we change the clocks next week, if I'm not mistaken, for Eastern savings time, whatever the hell that is. But the important thing to understand here is that there is a war. There is a war. There is a schism. There is division. The war, the schism, the division is between those of us who believe in the vision that the founding fathers fought an 8-year war to preserve. Traditions of liberty in Western civilization where we have limited government, where we have free markets, and where free individuals who are responsible for themselves and each other voluntarily engage in economic activity and trade and work together to have a strong defense against those who would try to take that away. That's the vision. If you believe in that vision, then most of the establishment, most of the government, and all the corporations and banks are over and against that. That's the war. That's the schism. That's the division. And within the Republican Party, only wing of the duopoly that has any liberty-minded people in it, the squishes have revealed themselves by surrendering. The rhinos have revealed themselves by surrendering. And it is up to you to dispatch them, to take over this shell of an organization, and make it the beacon of conservatism and libertarianism again, to put this federal government back in its constitutional box and to allow the creative energies and natural resources of this great land and this great people to get us out of the mess that we've allowed ourselves to be in over the last 100 years. Don't be afraid. Don't be sad. Don't be dejected. You are privileged to be here at this time to fight for freedom. And it doesn't have to be a fight with bayonets and guns like the founding fathers had to fight. It might get there, but it doesn't have to get there. We have the tools and the resources and the law to make it stop now, dead in its tracks, to dig ourselves out of this hole that we are in and to restore liberty across this land for every man, woman, and child, and get rid of this damn debt that the Federal Reserve has plagued our land with. It's up to you. But it's exciting, and when the Republicans surrendered, that was our opportunity for victory. This is an exciting time to fight for liberty. So we're going to close with 11 minutes of Ted Cruz. He gave a speech recently. I think it was over the weekend. It's only 11 minutes that I have, but the whole clip is available on our page. So, you know, join us next week, and remember that liberty's victory is up to you. This is Rex and Trog signing off. The flames of liberty will never die.
Across this country, we are at the edge of a fiscal and economic cliff. You know, I'm reminded of last fall when I had the opportunity to speak at the National Republican Convention in Tampa. And I talked about the national debt. I talked about our two little girls, Caroline and Catherine. And that night, Heidi and I went back to the hotel room. We're sitting in there, about 1:30 in the morning. And I pulled out my iPhone and began looking at Twitter. And Paula Poundstone, the comedian, it so happened she watched the convention that night. I guess she didn't have anything better to do. And she sent a tweet. She said, Ted Cruz just said, when his daughter was born, the national debt was $10 trillion. Now it's $16 trillion. What the heck did she do? Heidi and I laughed so hard we almost fell out of bed. But you know what? Caroline is five. In her short life, our national debt has grown over 60%. What we are doing right now is fundamentally immoral. If we keep going down this path, our kids and our grandkids will spend their whole lives not working to meet the challenges of the future, working to meet their priorities, but working to pay off the debts that their parents and grandparents. Our parents didn't do that to us. Their parents didn't do that to them. And you know what? We're all here tonight because we're not willing to do that to the next generations. So that leads to my second point. Growth is the answer. Growth, if there's one word every Republican should have tattooed on his hand, it is growth. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. I'm going to suggest the challenges we're facing right now are very, very similar to the late 1970s. This president is fond of saying he inherited the worst economy in the history of the universe. Doesn't seem to have a whole lot of historical memories. How many of y'all remember the late 1970s? You remember double-digit unemployment? 22% interest rates, gas lines going around the block, stagflation. You remember our hostages languishing in Iran for 444 days while the president wrung his hands, unsure of what to do? The answer we saw in 1980 was a grassroots revolution. It was the Reagan Revolution. It was millions of Americans, many of the men and women in this room who stood up, who got involved, and said, we're going to get back to the principles that made this nation great. President Ronald Reagan came into office in 1981, elected in this very same year Chuck Grassley was elected to the U.S. Senate. And he implemented policies the exact opposite of those President Obama implemented. Instead of jacking up taxes by $1.7 trillion, he cut taxes and simplified the tax code. Instead of exploding spending in the national debt, he restrained the growth of federal spending. And instead of unleashing regulators like locusts to destroy small businesses, Reagan restrained federal regulation and turned it back. The result was some of the most incredible economic growth this nation has ever seen. By the fourth year of Reagan's presidency, 1984, anyone know what the rate of GDP growth was? 7.2 2%. What does that mean? What does that mean in practical terms? Well, if President Obama, coming into office, inheriting the same lousy economy that Ronald Reagan inherited, had implemented the same policies, and if those economic policies had produced the same economic growth by today, we would have an additional 7 million new jobs in this country. That is the equivalent of taking every single person who is unemployed in 46 of the 50 states and having a new job for each and every one of them. And growth is foundational to everything else. Every other challenge we have, whether it's unemployment, whether it's the national debt, whether it's maintaining the strongest military in the world, if we have growth, we can do all of it. And if we don't have growth, we can't achieve any of it. Here's an interesting statistic. Do you know that an additional 1% economic growth produces over a decade an additional $2.8 trillion in tax revenues and $3.1 trillion in debt and deficit reduction? 1 stinking percent. That's a technical term, a stinking percent. That's what the Republican Party needs to be about. We need to be about economic growth all the time, every day. That's how we turn the country around. So how do we get it done? And that's my third point. Only the people can turn us around. I'm convinced we're facing a new paradigm in politics. It is a paradigm that is the rise of the grassroots. I got to tell you, it has official Washington absolutely terrified. But this new paradigm has been beta tested, unlike the Obamacare website. It was beta tested in 1980 with the Reagan Revolution, and we pulled this country back from the brink. And if you look at this past year, we have been seeing over and over and over again the power of the grassroots. One of the very first things I was proud to participate in the U.S. Senate this spring was standing side by side with my friend Senator Rand Paul in his epic filibuster against drones. Now, when that started, most of his colleagues in the U.S. Senate didn't understand what Rand was doing. They thought it was curious, quixotic, it didn't make any sense. And something incredible happened. We started to see people all over the country going online, going on Facebook, going on Twitter, speaking out and saying, defend our liberty, defend our constitutional rights. And as a result of y'all's leadership, as a result of the grassroots rising up, the next day, President Obama was forced to do what he had refused to do for 3 consecutive weeks, which is admit in writing the Constitution limits his authority to target U.S. citizens with drones. We saw the new paradigm a second time on the battle over guns. Following the tragic shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, President Obama didn't come out as he should have, targeting violent criminals. And listen, I think violent criminals, we should come down on them like a ton of bricks. But instead, he chose to target the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens. And I got to tell you, conventional wisdom in Washington was this was unstoppable. Early on in those first few weeks, Chuck and I both sat in those lunches, and if that vote had happened early, it would not have been pretty. And once again, the same thing happened. Millions of Americans across this country began speaking up, began showing up at town halls when their senators came home, began lighting up the phone, began going on Facebook, going on Twitter, speaking out the lead alternative to President Obama's Second Amendment infringing bills, the law enforcement alternative, was a bill that was entitled the Grassley-Cruz Bill, that I was very proud to write side by side with your Senator Chuck Grassley in his office. It received 52 votes, the most bipartisan votes of any comprehensive bill concerning guns. 9 Democrats voted for Grassley-Cruz. But Harry Reid and the Democrats filibustered it and prevented it from passing into law. But let me tell you something. Even though Washington was convinced after Newtown nothing could stop the president's anti-gun agenda, when it came time for a vote, every single proposal of the president's that would have undermined the Second Amendment was voted down on the Senate floor. That was the power of the grassroots. A third time we saw concerned immigration, where the president, along with Senate Democrats, made a push to grant amnesty to those here illegally and not to secure the borders. And they pushed it through the Senate. They had the votes to push it through the Senate. But the American people rose up in overwhelming numbers and said, no, we don't support granting amnesty without securing the borders and solving the problem. And as a result, that bill went to the House of Representatives and has stopped because of the grassroots, because of you speaking out to your elected representatives.